Turn over to the book of Revelation. We've been talking out of the book of Revelation for quite a long while now. And in the sixth seal, or the sixth chapter, it is the ninth verse, it's the fifth seal. Here, when John was caught up in the Spirit and seeing these seals open, he was in heaven. And it says, when he opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar those that were slain for the word of God and for their testimony. And this was in heaven. When he saw these seals open for the testimony that they held, it says. And he was in heaven when he saw this. And I've tried to explain just a little bit to some of them as to what this had to do with. When we talk about these things, some people are skeptics. Some people are interested to find out the truth. Some, how they really take it to heart and they ponder as to try to realize or find out if this is actually what this is all about. We don't try to dispute with you other than the fact once in a while a dispute will come up over the scriptures or the real doctrine of Christ as to just the normal trend of life. What is the real doctrine of Christ? And we dispute. The Bible said Paul disputed the scriptures daily. And they accused him of turning the world upside down. Said he that has turned the world upside down has come here because he was such a great, mighty Bible scholar. Even of the Old Testament, he was so great and mighty in the revelation of the Son of God to the extent that he said, no one, even those that in conferences seemed to be somewhat, no one had anything to me. He had understood the program of God. And my desire is to understand the program of God, and my desire is to see that you understand the program of God to where that you won't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. The Bible says it's a good thing that God has established, and that in the present day truth. So we try to bring about the present day truth. But when it comes to these things, we talk to you maybe today about something that's spiritual, and maybe tomorrow about something that's just a little bit of milk to feed the babes. And we try to go to and fro like a mother would as she prepares a meal. And it makes it real difficult sometimes to please everybody at the table. But when you get good and hungry, then you're all right. And one of the problems that I find in preaching today, people are not doing much. They're not making any efforts into the fields of labor. They're just kind of leveraging along and kind of lounging around, spiritually speaking. You're not really going into all the world. It's to a diligence to preach the gospel to every creation. When I say going to all the world, I don't mean you have to leave Bethlehem, but I mean that there are some here that, as to a launching pad with a thrust toward what is right, they have to help send the gospel. You know, see two or three men going into orbit, and they get the glory, they get the praise and all the honor, and they launch off of the launching pad and into the heavens they go, and then they go up to the moon or wherever, you know, and then they transmit back, and everybody's got their eyes on them, and they're the heroes, and it's great, it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful because it takes courage to do that. But on the other hand, those that went up there really didn't have anything to do with anything. It was the one that through technology, the hard hours of studying and trying to understand and putting things together, that come up with the power that gave the force to launch that thing and send it into orbit and send it to the moon or into space, or they that were in the orbit or in the capsule would never have been able to have gone. So a lot of times we overlook things of greater value because we do not have our priorities right nor our evaluation right. And I think about the people on the home front. A lot of people, it kind of remind me of the little story, you know, about Cinderella and some of the little things that God has come up as a fable, hiding himself within simplicity that even the children might be able to understand. But anyway, that's always behind the scene, like the little illustration we gave. The woman with the dishpan hands and the other sisters, you know, filled with frolic and pretty dress and all this kind of thing. But those that had stayed behind the scene, as we would say, down through the past, it's been always the great ones and the ones that always projected themselves out front looking for admiration and seeking, as it would be, the gullible desires of the world and human affection. They never have really amounted to much glamour. Maybe they seem to be somewhat, but when you really get down to it, the history of mankind always depicts the ones that were behind the scenes and the ones that a lot of times they just loom out of nowhere. As you go along, you read about them and say, hey, I've never heard of this fella. I've never heard of this woman. I said, well, it's back there all the time in the pages of history. They've just discovered the greatness. And that's the way it's going to be when we stand before God. You know, that we didn't think much about the little girl with the dishpan hands and the one that was willing to really be a mother, as we would say. You know, I see the mothers as we travel around the world, and there are some that are such wonderful mothers. They raise their children. They're willing to keep the dishpan hands. They're willing to work. Used to be as to scrub the floors and whatever it took. And didn't seem like they were so glamorous, or they didn't have the pretty face with the lipstick and the paint and the powder and all the stuff it takes, you know, to make you look like a kind of like a lily. But they were just kind of rugged and rough and full of endeavor and real strength as to take care of their children and to be faithful to their companions and just to do something. This is a symbol of the church. See, this is a symbol of the church. Those that are willing to get in the grit and grime and really work and share their efforts and their substance. Others that are drifting around that, you know, there's not much to them. The Bible speaks of the clamorous woman, and she would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground. She's so delicate, she can't do anything. And that's the way a lot of people are. And I'm always reminded of a little thing I heard on the radio. It's going down Texas about, I guess it may be along by the side of Waco or somewhere going down. I was listening to the radio and I heard this preacher giving his thoughts concerning Christ. And he read a letter about this time of some woman that had written. And I've related it to you before. And this woman was a famous movie star. She wrote in the letter that she was my light, my names and lights everywhere, as I've related to you before. She said, I'm looking for a husband. And she said, got lots of boyfriends, just lots of boyfriends, glamorous boyfriends, pretty suits and ties and money and popularity. She said, but I don't think much of them. They ain't much. She said, I want a husband. Somebody with some old rugged boots that they can throw in the corner. Somebody that's come out of the field, come from work, that's a real man. So that's the way it is with the Lord. He's looking for a real man. He said, Job, gird up your loins and answer me like a man. And I don't know if you've ever had him tell you that or not, but I have. And he's looking for a real woman. One that's not frivolous, one that's not wanting to be the sport about town, you know, and ride in the pretty car and have all the goodies and all the praise and all the honor, but some woman that is a real woman that wants to be an example of raising her children, of being just a common mother at home. See, in heaven, this is so great and so mighty before God. And these that are in the earth, they're frivolous folks. They're frivolous, looking for the glamours of the world. The Bible said, seeking honor one of another. How can you ever have the honor that comes from God? Seeking the diplomacies of mankind. See, but the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And all of those people that are last, they don't seem to be anything. They're going to come to the front. You know, they're going to come to the front. Like I said last night, talking to my fellas, it ain't going to be some race that comes to the front. That's childish. That's ignorance. God is not looking for races. God is looking for people, for human beings, for individuals. And he deals with individuals. He could care less about, you know, the different races of the world, all of them as to what race they are, what country they are, nationality, though they fight all the time. and one country is trying to take over another country, put them in servitude. But God isn't looking for that. He just wants an individual woman, an individual man that's willing to blaze the trail, the frontier for God. God wants somebody that's filled with self-denial, that's willing to decrease in his own or in her own stature as to the human being, decreases, John said, that he might increase inwardly to manifest himself in your life and in the heart. Somebody said, well, what does that mean, Brother Pike? Don't that mean for me to hit the trail and go here and go there and travel and be seen and be known and get on the radio and the television and all these other kind of things, publish a magazine? No, it doesn't have anything to do with that at all. Somebody said, well, be an evangelist and just go and go and go. No, usually those people just go as one that's beating the air. Then what is God talking about? He's talking about just a good homebody that wants to deny self and on the inside project Christ and not be over here, over there. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, you might do all kinds of things. We'll get to our subject in a few minutes, the Lord willing. But you might do all kinds of things. You might take clothes to the poor. We've got numbers of people that do that, even by tractor trailer loads. You might give food. You might go. You might say. You might preach. You might do all kinds of things. But when you finish, that's not what God was seeking. That's not what God was seeking. You might fast. You might pray. But that's not what God was asking for. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge? Long fast. We have our sacrifices, our gatherings, our church services, as it was said of the Old Testament. You know, we offer up all these sacrifices. That's not what I'm looking for. You know, even Saul offered great sacrifices, great things. He went out and took things from the enemy and brought them in and sacrificed them. Samuel said, that's not what God is looking for. Old Brother Samuel never did do that, but he was the apple of God's eye. The Bible said, and no matter what he said, never at any time did everything he ever said fall to the ground. Saul, a great and mighty king, but God didn't care for that. See, I'm tired of your solemn assemblies, all these gathering together great crowds, and you're a great evangelist, and you're a great preacher, and television, and movie stars, and all this kind of things. He said, I'm not in that. Does prophets dwell in palaces? Or are they found in the wilderness? Are they found by themselves in solitude? Or are they out somewhere seeking God as John through the wilderness? See, all these things, as to preachers behind desks on television, all this is a bunch of junk. There's nothing to that. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that's kind of a rude sort of a statement. It seems like that you belittle yourself and bring yourself down if you could have used a more polished word as to the ethics of life. Well, anyway, it's still junk. And all that stuff is just something to be rejected, to be thrown out in the garbage. But when you got a person that loves God, though they might not never go nowhere, Jesus never traveled very far. He was just around the home front. And he never traveled very far, but he shook the entire world. Paul traveled maybe a little farther, ship's doorway or whatever, to get into the world a little more with the gospel, but one of the greatest men that ever lived. And I'm saying all these things by way of remembrance. You know these things. But Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel to stir up your pure mind toward these things. Because a lot of times, just plain exhortation or a little bit of preaching is good for the babes, to give them a little milk. Because a lot of times they feel like they're nothing and they're pushed aside. Other people feel like they're nothing when they're 10 times 10 what the man in the spotlight is or the woman in the spotlight. So I'm saying that this morning to remind you that you have a job to do. Whether it's on the home front, whether it's abroad or whatever, you are to be a light, to let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, right there we get a hang up, because a lot of people, they believe in Christ, but they don't believe in any good works. They believe in being holy, as they say, in spirit, because nobody can see that. But when it comes to the body, they say, well, the Lord, you know, he doesn't require that. He knows that we're our children of circumstances and of some kind of environmental circumstances that we can't cope with. So he doesn't require that of us. But he does. Having your fruits unto holiness in the end thereof. everlasting life. And if the Spirit of holiness is within you, then God is within you because He is the Spirit of holiness. And if that Spirit is within you, then it's for sure that you're going to bear fruits of holiness. According to your nature, that's what you'll be. And we are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So today we're partakers of His divine nature. Therefore, we will produce the fruits of the Spirit. We will always be about the Father's business and will not cease to make that effort until every thought is brought into subjection to make manifest in our mortal genes this heavenly treasure, this life and understanding of God within this that we have to make it manifest in our mortal genes hourly. So if you're just a plain person, and you're doing something on the home front, whether fasting, whether praying, whether giving or whatever, then do that. Because like I said, with all these things that you supposedly do and going, and especially in the sense that you do it out of your own contrary will, you do it out of sync. That is, you're not synchronized with the children of God, nor the pastor. We was talking to the brethren about this last night. You're not doing anything. Even if you're giving to the poor, you're still not doing anything as to please God. See, God says obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. All those offerings that Saul gave, that wasn't pleasing to God. See, what God wants you to do is to be one spirit. And when God speaks, all of you move together. What I say to one, I say to all. When I bring Zion again, they'll see eye to eye. They'll speak the same thing. They'll march hand in hand. They won't break ranks. See, and stay in there with one thing. That's the Word. He doesn't speak anything to anybody but the Word. And when He speaks the Word, He speaks that to everybody. And He requires identically the same thing out of you as He does me and out of me as He does you. So then what He wants is a unit. Someone that won't break rank. Someone that has the same mind. Like on the day of Pentecost, they all were in one accord. The same mind, the same vision, to do exactly what the Word had said. Go ye and tarry till ye be filled with power from on high. Then shall ye be witnesses and that throughout the world. And they didn't break ranks. They didn't severally divide themselves. This one didn't get a vision that God told him to go over yonder and one to go over here. Or I'm going to do this and you can do that. They didn't do that. What they did, they stayed together. They prayed. The Holy Ghost came. They were filled with the Spirit of God. They were perfectly in harmony one with another. They were constantly from house to house breaking bread, not saying that anything that they had was theirs, but they just freely gave their hearts, their strength, their mind to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, to bring every thought into subjection. All of the endeavors of life right toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this, what God is wanting is to get His people together. On the day of Pentecost, when they all got in one mind and one accord, that mind, the mind of Christ, the accord to do the will of the Father. The Bible said the Spirit of God came like a mighty rushing wind. See, and the Lord is waiting for the return, but He cannot capstone something until it's built up properly. And when it is put in places to every stone and everybody abiding within their place, everything will work out. God said to Gideon, let them all stand around this canyon, as we would say. The enemy is in the valley. You stand right here. Give them all a little pitcher, a little clay pitcher. Put a little light inside of the clay pitcher. Like we say in the candle of the Lord on the inside, it is your life, your breath of life. It's searching out the inward part. See, and put it in this little clay pitcher, just like we have. And around this valley, let them all stand. And let everybody do what I tell them to do. I'll give one command, I'll give it all at one time, and they're all to do identically the same thing. Nobody's to do his own thing. That's one mind, that's one accord. Could you imagine me as an individual? Here I am, and my arm says, I want to do this, you know. And my leg says, I'm not satisfied with that. I want to do this. And the head is saying, well, why don't you do what I tell you? Why don't you coordinate? Could you imagine? Have you ever seen somebody that had brain damage or something that was wrong with them, mentally speaking? Have you ever seen them when they were in bad shape and their arms wouldn't coordinate and their legs? What a terrible calamity that is or would be to you or me. See, that's the way the body is today. It's all out of sync. And as this one over here is trying to tell the people what to do, and this one's trying to tell the people what to do, and the other says, I've got a revelation. And this one says over here, I've got something great. Just let me lay my hands on you, or I'll prophesy to you. Can you imagine what a terrible derision that is creating as to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, when there's one mind, and that's the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the Bible mind, that's the Word of God mind, and that's the same thing that spoke the whole world into existence and is speaking to you today. It's what created you. It's what commands you. It's what controls you. It is what furbishing and refurbishing you as to the word of spirit and of life. I sent my word and healed them. By my word, I uphold all things. It's my word that cast out the unclean spirits. Always the word of God. See, can you imagine what kind of problem that the church world is in today? But I'm telling you that we need coordination. We need sequence. Then Christ Jesus. And we need to follow the word of the Lord. Follow the word of the Lord. Somebody said, well, I would like to follow the pastor. That's the one I'd like to follow. You should. He watches for your soul. And he has the power to remit your sins or retain your sin. He has the power to bless you or curse you. You should follow the minister because he looks for your soul. He watches for your soul. See, and he loves you. He cares for you. And the only thing you have to remember is that's not the minister speaking, but God Almighty speaking. And that is the word of spirit and life on the inside of you that's speaking to you. And you should follow that. But the thing that the pastor is interested in is if you are in the word of God, not in some book, some imagination, some illustrations that you've read, some conversation that you've heard, or what you thought was the preaching of the word. But if you are in the Word, you are truthfully in the Word of God, and you love the Word of God, if your pastor is a real minister, he will love you, and you will be right there with him. You won't have to worry about being right there with him in spirit. You'll be locked in tight, because that's his interest. That's his life. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to project. That's what he wants to tell you. That's all he cares about. You walk in that and not your own idea, you'll be right there with him. Another thing, when you say, well, I'd like to please my preacher. The thing is, if you please God, if he's a real man of God, he'll be delighted with you, because that's his pleasure, is for you to please the Heavenly Father. And all of you will blend together like a beautiful, beautiful stream where little tributaries are coming in and all running into one thing, one accord, one mind. And the Lord Jesus will come, because the only thing that's keeping him from coming now is the fact that you're not in one mind and one accord. All over the world, they're scattered in their mind. And what has happened is they've got into such fleshly ambition of some man wanting to be an all-time great or a superstar or be before the public. Whether he's a preacher, whether he's a ball player, it doesn't make any difference. The woman, she wants to be something that everybody knows about, something that somebody can see. And she's always dressing out in her way to catch attention, and she won't stop at anything. And the man is the same way. All of this is foolishness. All of that is carnality. All of that is the carnal mind of death. People want things, buy things, get things, have things, money. They want these things, diplomacies of life, which is nothing but foolishness. They want to sing and clap their hands and holler and shout, run, jump, do all these things, whether it's at the ball games, screaming out, or whether it's in the church or whatever. All of that has nothing to do with God. I'm telling the brethren, you know, just recently that doesn't have anything to do with God. You can hold a position here at this church. You can be part of the operation. You can seem to be an important person, and maybe you are in an important position and could be an important person, and maybe you're doing something in that office. That still doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. It still doesn't mean that you've got God. It still doesn't mean that you're spiritually minded. See, you do carnal things, but you can be spiritually minded. All these carnal things you can do for God. You can have cars, you can have houses. Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual, shall I not reap of you carnal? Are the men been partakers? Am I not the more? See, but to be carnally minded is death. You can be in your office and doing the carnal things as to typewriter, as to running the machines like some of the ladies, as to running the presses, or carpentering, nailing, like building the ark, whatever, and still be just as spiritual minded. But if you're carnally minded as to those things that you're doing, then you're abiding in death. If you're on the job, you may be working on the job and you may be doing things every day that's carnal. See, but the thing is, there's nothing wrong with that. But to be carnally minded, you get that on your mind, your paycheck on your mind, then you're abiding in death. You get a person on your mind. You get the opposite sex on your mind. See, and if it isn't for the reason of wanting to save their soul, reach them with all of the purity and glory of God to the very purity of heart as to the virtues of life, then you're in trouble because you have a carnal mind and that is death. So then whatever you do, it doesn't matter what you do, even with your fellowship, with your companion, as to your union of reproduction in life, your mind should be on God and you should love the Lord and be doing just exactly that as faith in the word according to what the Lord has said. And as whatever, Paul used the term, as coming together that you might not be tempted for your incontinency to render due benevolence one to another, that you don't defraud one another. See, it still should be with Christ. And should be the love of God as to do that, to protect yourselves for virtue and purity, that you might be filled with the glory of God and be sufficed as to whatever the natural sources of your body demands, and go right on and do something for God. Everything as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to walk in the Spirit and be with God. So in these things, I'm saying that God is looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. He wants to use them. He wants somebody that's just the everyday, common, down-to-earth person like Moses was or like Abraham was. These are the greats. See, and you can be great. You can be tremendously great because you are the apple of God's eye. You are the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What more could you obtain in life than this great wonderfulness of that? See, you're a bone of his bone. You're flesh of his flesh. Why not let the Spirit of God then control your life and flow together as one member to another member, having been baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus, resurrected with him in the newness of life by the Holy Spirit, baptized into a membership as one life. See, my life is one life, and my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my all of this is just one unit by one motivation, and that's of the Spirit of life within me that motivates and quickens me to the understanding that comes forth from my heart. As a person thinketh within their heart, so they are. Let's indoctrinate ourselves with Christ. David said, "Thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And how can a man cleanse his ways before God? How can you do that? Even a young man, how can you cleanse your way? A young woman, by taking note of the word of God, by receiving the word of God. This is word of spirit and life and virtue. This is the power. This is the greatness of God. For the Bible teaches that the word of God is the power of God. And in this thing, we have the power over all the powers of the enemy. Christ, the spiritual word on the inside of you, hath all power. He hath all power in heaven and in earth. And he has all power over the satanic forces of the enemy, even death. And he is on the inside of you. And greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And through this Christ that has triumphed victoriously over everything that the carnal mind has, or everything that Satan can do, then here we are, the victorious. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in that word. And that word will take care of all of your problems. He has given us all things that pertain unto life. All things that pertain unto life. And if we'd got to elaborate a little bit on the seals, this is what we would have brought out as to at least this fifth seal. I'm thinking what we could have said this morning a little bit about it, because the one thing that they were waiting for was life. These under the seal was waiting for life. And touching just a little bit on it this morning, and maybe get to it tonight, I don't know. But see, these people had been people of simplicity. They had been called out of Egypt, and they had done what God had told them to do. And God made them the most outstanding people and the most outstanding nation in the world, and remains as that today. It's still the most outstanding people in all of the world. And that's what has kept them saved. is because people feared God in their life, even though they saw them bobble about. They knew that they were God's people, the apple of God's eye. And the Bible said concerning these people, when they went into Canaan, said, you'll have such a great understanding that all of the nations will be afraid of you. For the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him and make him of a quick understanding. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because we're the true Israelites. We're the true Israelite. And we find ourselves as the same as these did within the filth seal. For under the altars of God, within the heart of God. For the Bible said we have better altars than they that be the beast of this world. And those altars he brings out very clearly. We preached on that and brought it out in Revelation what those altars were. And here we are under the altars of God because the kingdom of God is within us. See, and we are as souls still under the altar as to the world looking at us. They don't see us as what we really are. And we're crying out on the inside. Paul said, groaning as to the creature, wanting to be delivered into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. See, the creature itself is groaning, and all of the earth is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting for the sons of God, for we're already the sons of God. And now, beloved, are you the sons of God? We're already here. We're not absent. We're present here. We're present. But Paul spoke of the absence of being absent from the body or being present from the body. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. He said, but we strive to please God, whether absent from the body or we're present in the body or we're present with God as to the absence from the body or whether we be present in the body as to be absent from God. We're with God, absent from the body, we're with God. And when we're in the body, we're absent from God as to the world. But are we ever absent from God? No. See, God is always with us. Jesus said, I'm alone, and yet I'm not alone. The Father's always with me. I do always the things I see my Heavenly Father do. As through the eyes of my understanding, I see him always. I comprehend him. His will, his love, his strength, his power is magnificent. He gives us youth. He gives us strength. He gives us power. He gives us eternal life. He makes us to rule and reign forever. He gives us the joy and jubilance like somebody about 14 years old and they're dancing and running and playing around the flowers and having a good time down by the brook, the streams and whatever. Filled with the abundance of life as to the natural exuberance of life. See, and the honeysuckle smell and all these things, that's life. The youth is filled with life. And yet that's what we are. We're born again. And we have that. And all that's going to be made manifest within this veil. And this veil just eradicated with the brightness of the coming of that abundance of glory as to heavenly treasure made manifest in mortal genes. Well, anyway, it's already there. Sons of God are already here. So the world isn't waiting for the sons of God as to say, where are they? But they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For we say, where are they? They are hid from the world. But they're on the inside. They're present. All that the world does, all that they have, all that scientists understand is only a reflection. You know, I was trying to explain to them yesterday, why is it that in this particular time, we look and here falls those great ministers. They've been hit so hard. They have pulled millions and millions of dollars. See, and they projected themselves as sons of God, as men with the answer, the glitter and the glamour, as to look at us and what we are and look at us, what we look like and all these things that they've gone through this. And somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, indeed, I saw something in him. I just saw something that was outstanding. I know you did. It's like John when he saw the great Hoa. He marveled. So decked out in the royalty of jewels, the splendor and magnificence and the arrays of that which was the human side of life and the spoils of this world. And John marveled. And the angel said, why did you marvel? Come. I'll show you about this. That is, I'll show you her fate. I'll show you what she's doing. Why did you marvel, John? See, what are we saying? Those men, you look at them, those women, you marvel. Those men come out in their tuxedos and they come out in their refiners of life, and they got all kind of money and glamour. A lot of them diplomacies and whatever. And they come out as any movie stars to say, I'm here. Everything is fine. Just look to me. I know. And it's so sad as to the cesspool of iniquity that they're caught in, having no control over their spirit. When the Bible said a man without any control over his spirit, or a woman, is like a city with a broken down wall. And they're caught in everything as to the debaucheries of the world. And was it this woman that used to come out, I won't call her name, you know, I know her name, but I won't call her name. Somebody was talking about this yesterday. She would come out in her flowing gown and sweep it around and say, I'm here. You know, on television. And what was it? She's gone now. She was swept away, apparently. But apparently not by the Spirit of God, because of things that she did, the attire that she had, her painted face, and all those things that misled God's people. And though she talked about religion and she was some outstanding thing, I know a few things as behind the scene as concerning her. Perhaps you know, perhaps you don't know. That we won't say is to abase things, but these things that she practiced behind the scene when she done other things out front, and it wasn't all with her at all the way it looked. So it is with those men. But I'm just saying, the love of the world, these people have the love of the world. Do they glitter? They do glitter. Do you see anything in them? Of course you do. If you look at the moon on a bright night, do you see anything in the moon? Of course. What do you see? You see the light of the moon. And the honeymooners, they just think this is great. You know, a honeymoon, less honeymoon. You know, that is just, let's just live it up in the lust of the flesh. That's what it really has to do with. You know, you see something in that. It's alluring. It's exciting. A beautiful moonlight night. And the passion's just high. You know, and you just revel and revel and revel. But what is the moon when you get to it, as they've discovered? Dust, nickel, rock, whatever the composition. As to the stars, many of these stars are the same thing that you see falling, meteorites and all these things. And yet, do you see anything in those stars? Of course. You look in the night and they are bright and they're shiny, they're silvery looking. They're nice, just like in the church. People that are self-willed, that do those things that they want to do, they don't listen to the minister. They're not one with the minister. Their spirit is not synchronized with Christ in the minister. They do all kinds of things, but it's to the satisfaction of their flesh, and religiously make them pass a tear once in a while from their eyes. Tears will flow from their eyes, just like Esau when he sought the birthright, didn't find any place of repentance. It had already gone with Jacob. See, and they feel like, well, this is satisfaction. This is satisfaction. I know God is pleased with this. Someone would say, well, isn't God pleased with that? Of course. Well, don't they feel something for God or from God? They do. Both for God and from God, they feel something. What is it that they feel? The rain on the terror. And the terror jumps up and down and has a good time. And the terror screams out, life, life, life. But do they have any life? The old saying, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Is the man on the inside, has he gotten anything from God? Or is it just a satisfaction of a religious activity? And that not following God. Not following God. See, God wants you to follow Him. He wants you to follow Him. Like Philip, he left a citywide revival to go down to one unit. But look at the thing that was. Look at how great that was in getting the gospel over. You know, what am I saying? I'm saying that all of these stars are starting to fall. Why? The great, mighty leader that has drawn multitude of people, perhaps as many or more than anybody in the world. I've called his name a number of times before. Not trying to say these things to reproach anybody, but to bring the light to the children of God. This man has been a tremendous light in the earth. But does the man have the Holy Ghost? No. Now, what is he then? He is a reflector. He is a reflector. Well, you don't know that. Oh, yes, I do know that. See, that's why I'm a preacher. I was told that. I was made to understand that. I see that. And praise God, I preach that. See, and so this great, mighty man, like a moon setting up there, and many people branching off from him like the stars. But what happens? They all fall from heaven. They all fall from heaven. What is it? Somebody said, well, tell me how you know, preacher, because I get some letters, I'll tell you. Not very many, but once in a while I get one, you know, that doesn't agree with me. And how do I know? I know because that's what the Bible says. And the Bible said, he that God sitteth will speak the word, which means he evidently knows the word, or he couldn't speak the word. And he'll do it without respect to person. And when I say these things, I do know it grinds at them. You know who it grinds at? The very ones I have problem out of, that I watch from day to day, whose spirit is not synchronized with God on the inside. See, and it grinds at them. Just like one now, I can feel a repercussion when I got down there. Not very much, but the person isn't walking with me. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Like I said last night to the people, I can't walk with you unless your spirit is one with my spirit. And God can't walk with me unless my spirit is one with his spirit. And we can't walk together, though we are together in the church, though we do walk together seemingly as two people looking at us, just like all these men that we're speaking about that's fallen. They're falling. They all seem to be together. These stars that's up there in the heavens, as we would say, they seem to be the same as any other star. But you know what they're doing? They're like a mirror. They're reflecting the light of that true star, which is a day star, which means as you and I on the inside, this day star dawning within us, there's a flame. The Bible said, I'll make my ministers a flame of fire and they'll devour the stubble. See, and they are a flame, even the true children of God, burning on the inside. And they have the ability, because of this, to stay within orbit or within the radius and confines of the great Holy Spirit. The Spirit, of course, being heaven. These others are not. These others are not that at all. Though they seem to be intermingled and interwoven, it's like the gold and the infiltration that has to go by the way of the fire and melt all of that out to get that out so that that star can really shine. That's what's happening to this body. God is burning it out. He's burning all of you out, all of the infatuations of the flesh out, all of this ego that you've got out, all of the stimulation of your human senses. He's burning it out. He's getting it out. Until you're completely dead in your body. And already by Calvary we are as in the sight of God. But yet we have to overcome this thing is to make manifest this life as to the faith of that of Calvary within these mortal genes, that we completely overcome it through self-denial, that it's not us living but Christ. That every functioning, every thought, every ambition of our zeal will be Christ in action. So these are not walking with me, neither am I walking with them. God is a spirit. Jesus said to the woman at the well, you do worship over here, and it was given to you as to the tutoring of those forefathers that ye should worship over there. But the thing is, that's not what God is pleased with. For God is not some grove. He is not some human being. He's not a man that he should lie or repent. But God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you should have the spirit of revelation, as Paul said. And I should be able to speak unto you as unto spirits, because if it's me naturally speaking unto you, I'm naturally going to tell you about natural things. And my interest is going to be just like a lot of the others as to the natural wealth and the things of this world and the natural popularity and the natural thing. Because Satan saves the things that be of the flesh, and we're born with the spirit of foolishness and sinners as from the first birth. But if I be of God, I'm going to be interested in heavenly things and spiritual things, and my mind's going to be in heaven, my thoughts going to be in heaven, my ambition's going to be in heaven, and I'm going to synchronize myself with the brethren, and I'm going to love the brethren, and they're going to love me, because I have no other proof of eternal life except that I love the brethren. Love is as strong as death. I say again to you, as I said to the brethren last night, coming in and out once in a while, you drop in, you ladies with the ladies, and you men with the man, and you stay around long enough to touch base, but you're gone. In a little while, you're gone, and you have got all kind of things to do in the natural. You're busy all day long with your frivolous, natural things of life, where some things are necessitated to life. But God said, seek the kingdom. All these things will be added as to whatever you need and whatever you need to do. And I'll give you the strength to do it. You know, but you're gone all day long. That's all you can think about is the natural. That's all you can do is the natural. That's all you want is the natural. And all of it is centered around your own human person. See, you don't have eternal life. You don't have the Holy Spirit. But them that come with the sisters to labor with them, to help them, to love indeed. They love the sisters. They want to be part of it. They want to be around them. This is what they want to talk about is Jesus. Day and night, meditating in his laws, growing in the grace and knowledge, because they know this is the wealth. This is the wealth of heaven. And people in this world that want the wealth of the earth, they want to think about that when they're not working, making a dollar. They're trying to figure out how to make a dollar. And they're always thinking about how can I conserve, you know, to keep a dollar and still get all the things of the world. See, because that's their life, that's their heart. And when you become a real, genuine Christian and you see this pearl of great price, you'll sell out all of your ambitions and whatever. You'll sell out just to gain the wealth that you need to purchase that pearl of great price. You're going to find out that if you really have God, you want to talk about him all the time. You want to think about him until you bring every thought into subjection, because you're transformating in your mind into that world of light. You've seen that pearl of great price, the streets of gold, the gates of pearls. You've seen this wonderful thing. You've seen that new life, a filled up and overflowing abundance of joy and jubilance, strength, everlasting strength. See, because this world is fading away. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all these natural things that you do, whether in office, whether it's ambition to take, to do whatever, that isn't going to suffice. You have to have his spirit. And if you have not his spirit, then you're none of his. If you do not have the spirit of God, then you don't belong to God. And if you do have the Spirit of God, then all these other things will come about as to do these things, to let your light shine, your works there. But it will be because the nature of Christ has stimulated you. And it won't be a will worship where you go and say, well, I guess I better go to the office. You know, like the men in Washington, the women in Washington, they'd rather play golf, they'd rather frolic. People in the home, mothers and daddies, the daddy says, well, I better go. I got to pay the bills. The mama said, well, I got to cook something. I guess I better get to that house and clean up the dirty dishes and whatever. You know, that's not a real man. That's not a real woman. That's not a real person as to a real senator or governor or president. Or they are not real statesmen. See, these people are not real. They're superficial. But when a mother, she loves to clean the dishes and scrub the floor, take care of her children. She loves to bake the bread. She loves to fix everything to where it's nice. So when the dad comes home, they can sit and enjoy themselves. And her mind is not running around out here, spending like a top somewhere out yonder on somebody or whatever. Her thought is, I must raise my little one. See that they have the best. I must look after them. You know, not that feeling, well, I got to raise these young'uns, you know, or got to look after these kids. But the thing is, I got a life of my own. I got to live my own a little time. You know, put up with a babysitter. It doesn't matter if you get in at 3 o'clock in the morning. You are cruel and you are wretched. Let me say that again so we can have that on tape good and strong. I've said it before. But you people that stick your babies off with a babysitter, and if I don't watch y'all, I'll get to preaching instead of exhorting. But anyway, you do that, and you leave them little ones, and you come dragging in at 2 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, run off and leave these little ones there. And sometime with a little old kid to watch after, you ain't even got good understanding. That's right. You don't even have good understanding. There ain't no love to you. There ain't no motherhood to you. There ain't no fatherhood to you. There ain't nothing to you. And you dads that will let that little one go hungry just because you're too lazy to get out and work, and you work just enough to kind of blind mama, you know, and give her a little spending money and whatever, and you don't work enough to try to pay the bills or keep a good name or do anything else, and you just lounge around and you've always got a headache and you've always got a tummy ache and you've got all kind of things until the day gets far enough along to where mama ain't expecting you to go to work and you're just full of zip and zip and you got all kind of things that you can do. You're not a father. You're not even a real good specimen of a man. Well, how do we get off on that? Anyway, I just thought we'd drop them by since we was passing that way. Now, I'm saying this, that those stars that are falling from heaven, what are they? They are in heaven. They do have a shoe of wisdom, the Bible said. When you look at them, you do see some glitter and glamour. And they are keeping pace with the world. And they're leaving some big tracks in the earth. See, but the thing is, it is the love of the world. And you are carried away with the lust of the flesh. And you're carried away with the gullible desire of the human admiration and zip of mankind. See, they do stand out. Doesn't he with $1 billion stand out? Sure. He that has all the refiners of life, don't he stand out? Because that's the thing that you're craving naturally. The devil's after them to have preeminence. See, but those people are nothing but reflectors. Even science, even these men of great knowledge that seems to have done all these things and give you your electric lights and all these things. I tell you before the living God, it's the truth. They didn't give you nothing. Nothing. God gave you those things. And when the light goes out as to the church, those men won't be able to even take care of themselves. So when you see all of this, whether it's the church or whatever it's at, you may be the little girl supposedly as with the dishpan hands, but don't run after the world. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Get in one mind, because the Lord is wanting to come back, and he can't come back until you're all in one mind and one accord. Dad can't run the house. He can't be the controlling factor. He can't rule over the house. And why I say that in love and in grace and giving mercy, honor unto the woman as the weaker vessel, you know, and the little children being tended to them. He can't do that until he gets mama in line. Mother's got to be in line, and she's got to get control of those children to guide the house. And she's got to always be telling them the greatness of Dad and how he works and how he takes care of them and how he loves them. And he'll work through the mud, the cold, the winter time, no matter what it is. And then their admiration is toward Dad through the mother. And then the dad, he just loves the mother so dearly that he'll say, children, this is the finest woman that ever lived. The finest mother. She's really something for you to love. That's the way it works, folks. And all of them becomes one. And Dad can speak. Everybody's ready to do what he says. Because when he speaks, he doesn't speak selfishly. He doesn't speak haughtily. He doesn't slap mom in the face, push around, kick the children like the bunch of devils of today. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said the bunch of devils of today. Them's devils in humanity, no feeling, no nothing. You know, in violation of the word of God, if a woman turned and spit in their face, she'd be well in order. And if daddy, you know, beat her over the head with a baseball bat, he'd be well in order as to get rid of the thing that's in bad shape. And I don't say that as to being in order with the word of God, but I'm saying if you want to put it on human level, no wonder people use blackjacks as the police out there to beat people on the head. People are so full of the devil, they can't tell them nothing. They can't get them to listen. And they have to beat them on the head because they're a bunch of renegades. You know, somebody said, but Brother Pike, why not the love of God? Them police don't know nothing about the love of God. All they know is you're a human being, and if they can act right, you can act right. Then on the other hand, there's the bunch of devils that's inside of police. And they're inside of those garments and run around with their badges and run around with a billy stick just to play cowboy, you know, and beat on the youth and to push people around and to boycott against them, a bunch of devils too. Let's give the Lord another hand. See, but good law, good order, good rules, good control coming from people, good government, they just love it. The people love it. Good government, liberty for all, justice, you know, and mercy to them that deserve mercy. So I'm just saying that when Dad speaks, he speaks with love. He speaks in consideration of Mother. She's been here all day. What would she like to do? What can I do for her? She's been around the house all day watching after the children. What can I do to help her? I love her. You know, and the same way with the children, he thinks, those are precious. That's the jewels of my heart. What can I do for my babies? You know, and you know, that's not just with a home life. That's with the president, if he's a true president, lifted up of God. If it is a minister, that's the way a true minister looks. He isn't looking at them just to get them to labor. As Jesus said, to create burdens grievous to be borne, to burden them down with them and not touch one with his finger. He's not interested in just eating and drinking and getting what money he can out of them and get them to lift him up and get him all kinds of things just to magnify him and magnify him. You know, there's things that people magnify by money and the wealth of the world, and you lift yourself up, God will put you down. But if you let God magnify you like David, taking you from among the sheep, go, making you a great king, then you'll never fall. They that do these things will never fall. Well, anyway, we could go on and go on and go on exhorting. And I've been at this a long time this morning. And we just kind of introduced our thought as to the seal. But maybe tonight we'll get to say something about it. But folks, let's be just what we are. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He hath made me this. He hath dealt unto me the measure. I have the same privilege you do as to a sovereign, and so do you, that we can go on to the full measure, the full reward of the full stature of Jesus Christ. You know, it's up to us. If we want to give enough time, don't be jealous of somebody else because they're willing. And don't just be them that cause division. The Bible said, mark them that cause division. Somebody's got a program. Somebody's got a plan. See, and over here, they're altogether separated from the minister and what he wants to do. And because they see somebody else that's already scattered and going doing their own thing, drawing people away after them. Don't run after that. Don't do that. Somebody said, well, I don't see it that way. I know you don't because you're spiritually blind. But I'm talking to you that are not spiritually blind. You'll not see when good comes, you that are blind. But let me tell you something. Be wide awake in Christ, doing his will, wanting to follow the brethren and the sisters and work together as a unit. Someone said, well, I don't believe in them, brethren. Well, why are you doing here to trouble them? Get away from them. You are a foolish person. Get away. I don't believe in the minister. Well, you need to get away. You'll just shorten your days by your disobedience. What if he is right and you're wrong? See, somebody said, well, what if I'm right? There ain't no way you could ever be. Your very thinking proves that. See, and I can prove by the Bible that you're not right. Even your very thoughts. If you'd have been right, the first thing you'd have done would have come to the minister. You wouldn't have rebuked an elder, but you'd have come to the minister and met with two or three brethren that would not be renegades, but say, we need to talk to our minister. There's something here that I'm sure that I understand that he don't understand. And then come to the minister, put it to the test, sit down, talk it out, find out. If you're right, then the minister, if he's a real minister, he'll say, you know what? You've really opened my eyes to something there. Or if not, you know, it'll go the other way. It's like I said to some of the brethren, I'm trying to find a place to close you if you'll be patient with me. I said to one of them, I said, what if you had 5 men on the job? And I said, if one of those men always was trying to put something in the mind of the other 4 men, no matter what you told them as to what you wanted or what you knew should be done, the other one said, well, you know, he's a fine employer and I like to work for him and I'm satisfied with my pay, but I think that if they went this way or we did it this way, or I just got some ideas about this thing. See, what would you do? One of the brethren answered back and said, I'd put him on his way quick. I'd put him on his way. I ask another to the mouth of 2 witnesses, he'd be gone. Now, why should I, as the minister, feel any different? Why should God feel any different? If you're going to be a wolf, come among the sheep, and you're going to tear my little ones and lead them off and do the things you're doing, because naturally they're ambitious to do anything. You know, and you could tell them almost anything, they're gone like that. See, because there's more of them naturally than there is spiritually. They're big, great, big boys and girls in the natural. And you can talk to them and indoctrinate them and away they go. But they're little bitty fellas on the inside that mom and daddy needs to understand that and look after. These little bitty fellas on the inside, they need to be looked after. And you lead them away and always you'll find this is people that are continually in error, continually giving you problems. They don't ever synchronize with the brotherhood. They don't ever come around the brotherhood except just sporadically once in a great while. And that's just enough to drop in and out. They don't really stay long enough to learn nothing. And if they do happen to learn anything, they incorporate it in their natural zip and try to get understanding to where they'll be the more contrary and do their own thing. This is bad, folks. Mark them that cause division among you. Stay together. Love the Lord. In unity there is strength. Even in the United States, the saying is, united we stand, divided we fall. I said, this man that come in would divide the nation. He's divided it. Now it's fallen. Before, when they were together with their one leader, as to the president of what they themselves by their choice had put in, then they stood. And somebody said, well, isn't this the choice of the people? Evidently not. He blinded the people with promises. And I speak this very plainly. Paul said we use great plainness of speech. He blinded the people with promises. And I saw a whole page like this. And I said, that's foolish. I said, that's childish. There ain't no way in the world he can do that. Even if he does just a few of them, you know, that would be a miracle. And they found out that he's hardly done any of them out of all this time he's been there. I noticed don't set well. Somebody said, leave them politics alone, Brother Pike. We ain't talking about politics. We're talking about God and the devil. Let's give it all to him. He can be in the president just like he can the preacher. All right. So then I love you because you're great and mighty people. Somebody said, well, we're great and mighty because we applauded for you. No, you're great and mighty if you don't ever applaud for me, because you've got God in your heart and your interest is God. And I see that as you light up when you hear the truth. You love the truth. I can tell that you light up, and that's what you applaud for. It don't matter. It's like somebody was telling me last night, I believe it was, about a young preacher we got here. And he said, well, I can't hardly stand to be around the boy. And others yesterday was telling me the same thing. Something come up about him and said, I can't hardly stand to get around the boy. But he says he's called to the ministry. Then how do I feel about it? Fine. Like Moses said, if all of them was preachers, it'd suit me well. See, if they're preachers, young preachers, it doesn't matter to me. That's great. That's wonderful. But there's one thing about it. You know, whatever you are, preacher, prophet, whatever you are, if this is the message of God, then this is what you'll be talking about, not your ideas and what you're reading out of books. So you'll be talking about the Word of God, and you'll be talking about the same thing I'm talking about, and you'll be a member of the body of the Lord Jesus, and Christ will work through you, and you will be subject to the higher powers, and you will be subject to the people that are the elders of the church, or people that are deeper in God than you are. And when you get this idea about what you got, and you're so great, and you're greater than they are, and you don't have to listen to them, you're the preacher, you're nothing but a renegade. You're nothing but a renegade. A renegade, I don't care how old you are. You are a novice. And lifted up in pride, you're going to fall into the condemnation of the devil. You don't really have anything. And it's most likely that you're not even called to preach, let alone chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Well, let's stand together, because we could go on and go on. It's getting about dinner time for you. I try to be as considerate as I can and still get in what little I can as to the exhortation and preaching. I love you. I want to help you. I want to walk with you. I'll do anything I can for you. But brethren, sisters, let me tell you something. And you're very precious in the sight of God. You're indeed precious, brothers and sisters. You're God's. You don't need to go after the frivolous of the world. You could never be no greater than what you are. You are God's. You are sons of God. You're already here, waiting to be manifested, that the world may see you, that you may take over. And we love you. God loves you. I know you love us. I believe that God loves us. But stay together. Don't listen to these people that pop up among you that's just trying to get himself a following. And always got something to say, always a discrepancy. Or a lot of times they won't do that. They use flattery. And they'll say, Brother Pike, and Brother Pike. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. And indoctrinate you. And just about time they think that they might say something a little off color as to what you might think. They'll say, and Brother Pike, and Brother Pike, and Brother Pike, you're a shepherd, you're a shepherd. See, don't be carried away with those foolish things. Be sound in your understanding. Be sound in your doctrine. Be sound in God. Don't have a spirit contrary to the spirit of the pastor and the minister. Every time you even get near him, he'll feel it. He'll feel it. You just get near him, he'll feel it like I did then. I felt it. Felt it strong because someone didn't like what I said. Someone didn't like what I'm preaching. Someone said, well, who is it that don't like it? The devil. He's the one that don't like it. Let's give the Lord a little hand. So, are we going to let the devil take hold of us and our minds and lead us in the wrong way? Father, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. So then, be one with Christ. Get born again. Get the Holy Spirit. When you feel these things, it may be a believer that you feel these things from. But it is a person that don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something. This would be good for them that's talking about being ministers. You can't be a minister unless you got the Holy Ghost. Remember that? You might testify. You might do all kinds of things. You are a believer. That's great. Don't stop. Keep on. You might be sanctified as a believer, but get the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't, still seven of the devils can come into you and you being a believer. You know, all you've got to do is just sidestep a little. And even though you are sanctified, clean, yet seven other devils can come into you just with a little sidestep and you'll be defiled. Get the Holy Ghost in there. Get sealed in there and then you can be a minister. But this other thing, you're not a minister. I'm talking to one right now. You're not in the ministry. You may have a calling for the ministry. I don't say that you don't. But you take it from me that you're not a minister. Your spirit don't even synchronize with mine. It's not even in harmony. Right now, it's repelling my spirit just like that right now. Somebody said, well, you don't know that, Brother Pike. You just don't know that. Well, it's like yesterday, two people come in. And I'm usually real easy with people. I try to be. Here, I usually don't even say as to who it is or what it is as I could right now. To keep down embarrassment or to keep from hurting people and making them a public example. But there wasn't but two or three people sitting there. And somebody came in. And it was a person that to me is one of the most precious people we have here. And they came in. And when they come in from the door there over to the side of the machine, I was sitting in front. And when they come in, I felt something. And that thing was so heavy and weighty. And it was heavy and weighty upon the person's conscience. And yet it was contrary to me and was a resistance to me. I sat there a minute and I thought, well, now this is something's wrong here. This person isn't like that. That's not their nature. This is a precious person that loves the Lord and not all that old in the Lord. And I thought, now wait a minute, what is it? There's been some conversation going on. There's been some things said. Something has been going on here, and it has to do with relatives. And of course, that ends up with the something of your wife, and on and on and on. And when they come in, I said something to them. They didn't acknowledge what I said. And that was one of our white brethren. And then, in a little while, he'll come one of our black brethren. When he come in, I didn't feel anything from him. Just as nice as he could be. But I thought, now I know this isn't right. Even the boy, though the boy's a fine boy, one of our fine brethren here. And not all that old in the Lord, but old enough to know better than to do wrong, both of them. And then I said something, and when I did, just like that, the devil hit him. And I thought, yep, that's what it is. It's back there. Something's got to be done. So I said something, and he didn't acknowledge anything. Usually when you say something, they don't acknowledge it. Well, I don't care. I don't ask them to acknowledge it. But like I told the other brethren sitting there, I said, I don't have to ask them to acknowledge that. I said, we're not playing a guessing game. It's not a matter whether they acknowledge it or don't acknowledge it. I said, that's exactly the way it is. Well, when they saw it was in the affirmative, then both of them acknowledged it. That was the truth. I said, brethren, let me tell you something. I said, this is not a game. I said, when the Lord moves, it doesn't matter how slight the thing is. If it's not right, unless God's willing to hide it, then it'll be revealed. I said, just like we're sitting here right now. I said, and there's one that's here right now that is one of our finest people, and he really is. I said, he works, he makes a living for his family. He looks after them, one of our finest. I said, but he has a problem with carnality. And I said, it's just a state. Why we say not necessarily an obsession, but it's a state of mind of carnality. And what causes this is usually because we don't pray enough. We don't fast enough. And I said, his spirit isn't coming against me at all. Nor is he finding fault with me. He believes in what I'm doing. The finest kind of person. I said, but he's right here, right now. And this is the condition of him right now. I didn't say anything to him. I didn't say anything to others. They're making pictorial to where they could see him. I said, as a matter of fact, he'd like to say something about this as a confirmation, just to let you know that it was true. We sat there for a long while. Nothing wasn't said. this particular person was sitting where I couldn't even see him. The only way I didn't even see him would be like these people over here that I just happened to glance like that while I was talking to the others and out of the corner of my eye, you know? And then all of a sudden, the individual got up and said, "Folks, let me tell you something." He said, this is not just a game or what the words was. He said, "This is true." He said, "And I know it's true, and I believe it, and I respect it, and that's absolutely a fact." He does. He said, "But I want you to know that that's me." Said, "As a matter of fact," said, "this man that's sitting across from me here," which confirmed it, said, "I was just talking to him about that before I came into this place. Though it was so slight." See, I'm just saying, just to be carnal. And carnal things are not wrong. I've sown unto you spiritual, I should reap your carnal. But to be carnally minded is. And when you stay in those natural things like that, even on a job, you have to be careful. Even washing your dishes, planting the flowers, working the grounds, whatever, you'll get carnal minded. And yet those things have to be done, and you can be spiritual minded and build the ark for the salvation of mankind. It takes those things. But see, a brother across from me that was having a problem with carnality, I never did even tell him. But I just the night before had seen a vision of him. And I had related it to my wife and maybe to one of the children. I'm not sure who was talking. See, I hadn't even related it to him. But this brother sitting there, he spoke up and he said, "I know you're talking about me." He said, "I just feel that you are." I said, "No, I'm not talking about you." He said, "I just feel like you are." I said, "Because I'm like that." I said, "It's true. You got problems with carnality. You got problems. And any time that you're talking about God, if you've got a group of people, that person don't have to do nothing but walk into your presence. And it automatically interrupts the anointing." See, and I said, "No, it's not you." I said, "Would it be convenient now if I said, 'Brother, it is you.' Now, brethren, you see, I told the truth. And everything would have been kosher. Nobody would have known the difference." I said, "But you know what? I'd have been a liar, because that's not it at all." I said, "It has nothing to do with you." And then after that, the other fellow spoke up and said, "I know it's me. And so help me God, it was." See, I'm just saying that to say that it is not a matter of Brother Pike being here. It is a matter of the Spirit of God being here. We come together in the name of the Lord. It is Christ speaking to you. It is Christ that's concerned about you. It is the great physician that puts you under the x-ray that he might look on the interior and see. And he's willing to help you and do something for you if you will let him. But if you will not and you be contrary, he cannot help you. He cannot help you. And if he cuts you open as to an examination, as to look in there to see maybe cancer, whatever it might be, if that thing is terminal, he can't do nothing but sew you up. And some of you, you are terminal. There's no hope for you. You are so contrary, so self-willed, so much pride and prestige, so much arrogance, so much determination as to do your own thing, to study books, to read, to go after the world, to be determined that you are whatever you want to be, until can't do nothing but sew you back up. Sew you back up and let you go. Some of you that have problems, these spots can be cut off. And some of these things, they can be cut out. And it's going to hurt. Chastisement is grievous for the moment. Afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruits of rising. You're going to be sore at the physician. As the Bible said concerning Jesus, physician, heal thyself. See, and you're going to be sore. But the thing is, if you'll take a little time, wait, after a while you'll heal up. And like my Susan the other day, having to go through an operation, when she got out of money, she said, "I feel good." See, and if you'll just wait, you won't have all those problems that you've been having. But if you go contrary, you do your own thing, I give you my word, as with my conscience bearing witness with God, you're going to be sorry. You're going to be in trouble. Because you can't handle it. Somebody says, "I'm a man." No, what it is, you feel young and you feel frisky, as the world says. You think, "Man, I can pump steel. I got muscles, or I can do this." Or, "Young woman, you know, my mind is sharp and alert. I can handle it." But let me tell you something. That's a deception. That strength is going to dwindle away and that youth is going to go away. And you're going to find out that you're going to be so worn in your nerves and that you'll just go to pieces at the least little thing. Some of you, even young right now, sitting on the television all the time and nightlife, whatever, you just about ruin your nerves already. See, and you're going to have problems. I could bring out something right now concerning somebody on the campground of what I'm telling you. You're going to have problems. And you need to do something because you're going to find out that you're in your strength. And after a while, the devil's going to wear you down. And then when he comes to you, you're not going to be able to resist the devil. And the devil isn't going to flee from you. And you're not even going to have enough strength to survive the crisis that you're going to go through with. So you need to get in while you can. Draw nigh to God. The other day I felt something here on the platform. It disturbed me. Because I'm trying my best to be patient, to be kind, to be considerate. But when a person gets knowledge, they get vainly puffed up and let devils in. And it just plagues me. It bothers me. Unless I just openly turn and rebuke the thing. I'm not finding fault with you or an accuser of you. Because I'm here to help you with your faults. I've got faults. And we're working together. And we'll work together. And I am trying with the Word of God and the understanding of God to eradicate those faults in your life. Because that's what the minister's for. But when it comes to a devil and a habitual thing, I'm here to raise the sword. I don't bear the sword in vain. Revenge of God to execute judgment upon them that do evil, to bless them that do good. Now, see, we're here because we love you. We want to lead you. We want to bless you. But a lot of people thought that was just one that I felt that from. See, it wasn't just one. It wasn't just one. It was one of the... Both of them were musicians. One was a white brother and one was a black brother. One is the black brother. It was a preeminence of self-esteem, of intellectual knowledge, of book learning, and overconfidence as being something that he really isn't. Thinking too highly of himself and not thinking soberly according to the measure of faith that has been dealt unto him. He hasn't proven anything as of yet as to have confidence in. The other was a white brother, as to a suspicion toward me as I tried to minister to the ladies and to the men, watching me. So slight it was. And why would he do that? Because I happen to know that he has been one of the bad ones among us as to filth and as to those things of the flesh. And I had mercy on him and helped him through it. But instead of keeping his mind on his instrument and what he was doing, his mind went the wrong way. Isn't that sad? A lot of you do me that way, that come in and out. But what you need to do is keep your mind on the Lord and keep your eyes on Jesus, and he'll calm the troubled waters of your soul. You're not sent here to judge me, nor am I sent here to judge you. We have been sent here to worship God and to love the Lord, that our light might see and that I might feed my babies here. My babies and the Lord Jesus said, feed my lambs, and that I might help you that want my help. If you don't want my help, you don't feel like I can help you, that's fine. Go to another physician. Or if you can feel you make it on your own, that's fine. Do whatever you want to do. You know, that's your business. I have nothing against you if you want to. A lot of times people come to me and say, well, should I go over here, Brother Pike? I say, well, how do you feel about it? According to your faith. You know? And they get upset with me because I'll say something and maybe parabolically, and they'll perceive that I'm not in agreement with them. You know, and that I'm saying, go on Balaam. And they'll cut down across me. But that just brings out the spirit that I knew was there to start with. That's why I didn't agree with them. Sometimes it's not necessarily what they're doing, it's what they are. You understand what I'm saying? So then, what are we talking about? I'm talking about if I spare any of them, there'd be pricks in my side. I'm trying my best to carry them on the wings. I'm trying to work with them because that's what I should do. Be long-suffering, kind, gentle, patient. But is there a place that I should do anything else? Or is there a stopping point? He said, you spare any of them, there'll be pricks in your side. Rebuke them openly and rebuke them sharply that they might be sound in the faith. Rebuke them openly that others might see and fear. A lot of times I just say these things. I say, there's somebody here. And somebody says, well, I know who you're talking about. You know, that's their thought. And some of the others, they know who you're talking about. You shouldn't do that out in public. The Bible said rebuke them open. I got a right just to call them out and tell you who they are. See, and still be right on trail. See, and so you just be grateful that I don't do that. you that are doing these things repeatedly as to a continual thing. Like I told some ladies in here one night, I said, if y'all don't quit just marching around, going here and there, doing these things, I'm just going to call you out by name. They didn't believe it. They continued. So one night I just said, hey, sister, would you come up here? And sister, would you come up here? And sister, would you come in? And stood them all right before the audience. That didn't set too well, but that's the way to do it. Let's give the Lord a hand. Others will see and fear and not do those things. They'll say, well, for sure. But that man will actually call me right up there in the front. Somebody said, well, bless God, if you call me up there in the front, you know, I'll spew like a Roman candle. I'll tell you a thing or two. I know we had a sister to do that. While I sat right over there with great patience. I sat with great patience and wouldn't come against her. And I let her say whatever she wanted until she got so derogative and began to say such evil, wretched things till I rose up and rebuked the devil right here before she ran out of the place. That same sister, God knows this is the truth, that I was in my room praying on my knees, talking to God, and my wife trying to reason with the sister over the telephone. She had gone, just turned out to be terrible, and I'd already told my wife of the demon spirits that had a hold of her, as well as her companion. Wrecked their home, their life. But I was in my room praying, and my wife come in there and broke into my prayer room, which she don't do as a rule, and she said, George said, talk to this woman. Do something. Tell this woman something. Said, I can't reason with her at all. Well, the woman did not know that she had brought that telephone to me and me on my knees and having been talking to God and me still on my knees when I took the telephone, talking to her, talking so kind and so gentle, trying to get the spirit off, giving honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, trying to help her, knowing some of the things she was going through with. And she going on, smart, arrogant. I listened and I talked and I listened. And finally, that's when I said something to her that she didn't like. And she said, well, I have to do these things. I said, no, you don't. And she said, well, I have to do these things to take care of my children. I said, no, you don't. I said, you don't have to do that. I said, what you're doing is you don't want to be around your children. Just want to get out to the frolics. And when I had said that, she exploded. And she didn't know that I was on my knees. Nevertheless, I'm just saying that, folks. Who wants to rebuke their child openly before all the other children when they could work with them in private and secret to do everything not to embarrass them? But if you got one that's going to come in and spit in your face, you set the table and slap it off of the table, you know, and one that's going to abuse the other children if they speak up, what are you going to do? Somebody said, well, I wouldn't want to embarrass them. Embarrass them? It's like I say, we've got children running around out here, boys and girls. Somebody said, let them come and stay in my house, right here on the campground, whatever. Let's be merciful to them. You know, we don't want to embarrass them. Nobody to know about this. And we want to show love. You're ignorant. You're just plain ignorant. That's all it is to it. You don't have good understanding. I say this so much. If that child is already out there in the hog pens, what are you going to keep them from? What are you going to protect them from? They're out there in it every day. All you're doing is bringing the hog into your house. As to a swine, and your son and daughter can be a swine just like the rest of them, and they can be possessed with the devil just like the rest of them. And they come in and they sling all that filth around, and then the little children that's decent, that could grow up to be something, you have allowed them in and out among them. See, and everybody knows that they're a swine or a dog but you, and you just won't admit it because it's your flesh and blood. And then soon you are a swine and a dog too, because two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And that's what I'm saying, folks. I can't go along with that here. I can't do it. Many churches have been split up. Many campgrounds have been ruined. Many preachers has been ruined. And many an audience has been ruined. I can't go along with it. Somebody says, well, bless God, you won't change me. I don't have to change you. I've already marked you off to the list, turn you over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh if you are going to be in that mind already. And God will plow your fields. So don't have to worry about that. Somebody says, well, I'll go to heaven. No, you won't, because I've not remitted your sins. When you're like that, says, well, I'll go to somebody else. Ain't nobody else going to remit your sins. It takes God to remit your sins. And if you go to a minister that does remit your sins, then it's not God at all. See, it's not God at all, because he had no power to remit your sin. He's just in the same hog wallow you are. But folks, let me tell you, when you come to Christ, whether it's me or the minister over the hill or whoever, when you go in there, you stay in there a little while, and he might not be as far down the trail as some other minister, but you give him a little while, and he He'll be discerned to your case just like that. And there won't be no remitting of sins. See, and we have to present you before God. The Bible said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin, whole, body, soul, and spirit, blameless. But otherwise, we don't tolerate that here. I'm going to say this, and I am going to close. I had a man to come down there one day in the basement, and I know you want to go. I know you're standing. I've been standing all the time. It's a black man. He's coming down there. I tried to carry him on the wing. I talked with him. I tried to love him, knowing the rottenness that was going on in him. But I was trying to wash it out. And he went on, and I picked it up one day, and I saw that he'd locked in, and he wasn't going to do anything but be rotten and filthy. So I said something to him. A white brother was sitting there close by. I said something to him, and I told him just how rotten it was on the inside and what he was going to do and what he was doing. He went straight out, took another man's wife, and run off with her. The other man that was sitting there, he was real happy over it, the white brother, because he felt like I was right on trail. And then when I turned to him and I said, in the rottenness that you've got on the inside of you and the things you're doing, of all the filth and the corruption, and it about tore him to pieces. And today, he's been gone, went through all that rottenness, all that filth. I just got a call from him. He's still wallowing in the filth, still with somebody unmarried and whatever. As to the man that left here, we spoke about his companion, what he'd done. The last report I got, he was with a woman that he isn't married to, going to a church and still drinking. He was here. He heard these things. And then, like another man that came down there, and I was talking to him, trying to carry him on the wing, working with him, and he's just going around with all this stuff covered up and doing whatever. And one day I told him, I met him. The Bible said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are, but someday I'll meet you face to face, and I'll treat you as it would be a bear that's been robbed of her cubs. You mess with God's little ones, and you'll get in trouble. And I said to him one day in the printing room, I said, let me tell you something. And it shocked him. I said, we don't have room for folks like you here. We don't need you here. We don't want you here. And the best thing you can do is get out of here. And he was so flabbergasted, he didn't hardly know what to do. But you know what? He got out of there. Because you know what he was doing? A woman, expectant mother, carrying a child, a man's wife, and he was still going around taking time up with her. And I rebuked sharply. So let's sing a chorus together. We want to be sound in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. You say, well, that's my relative. I know. Some of them's my relatives too. I said, well, I don't like it. You can come see me. Come see me. But I tell you, when you come see me, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told you about your relative or told your relative. So I said, oh, you won't do it. All you got to do is come around and find out. I'll try my best to spare you. I'll be loving. I'll do all I can. And I'll say, well, I wasn't trying to hurt your friend or your relative. I wasn't. And when you fly up, you know, and you start crowing in my face, you're going to find out it's going to fit you exactly the same way. Somebody said, well, I'll just punch you out. Well, I tell you what, you better get your punching gloves on, because when you come, that's exactly what you're going to be told. All right, somebody said, what do you mean? I mean, bold as a lion, harmless as a dove. Have you ever met a lion? Have you ever seen a lion caged up? Try to get his attention. Try to argue with him or tell him and watch him just pass by you and want him to look at you. And then if you do get him riled up and he takes a look, he'll open that big mouth and roar and you'll stop the argument right there. Even though you're on the outside of the cage and he's on the inside of the cage, and you'll get him stirred up enough, you'll feel like he's coming through those bars. Like Brother Branham said one time, he don't have to attack you. You just be in the canyon where he's at and roar. Said you're about to have a heart attack. Let's sing a little chorus together. Somebody said, well, I guess you're brave, Brother Pike. No, to the contrary, I'm not. I'm kind of like Elijah. When Jezebel came, he run. But the God that I've got on me has never run, never, no one time. Never. Whether it was in a woman when she went to the stakes or in a man. He's never yielded one bit of ground. He's never run. He's never turned about faith. And you can be sure he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's never done it, he won't never do it. Let's just sing this little chorus. Sweep over my soul Sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Sing that with me now.
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, of rest, and thou sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am safe evermore. You know, we've been threatened with guns. We've been threatened with knives. We've been in places of peril, the mountains, the seas, the different places. And we've been confronted with a lot of things of all people, all tribes, and all races around the world. All kind of weird people, weird doctrines of bewitching things, this is the witchcraft or whatever, in the foreign countries. He's always been the same. And in the places where we preached, when we screamed out against things, Mosulism or whatever, in the deep, dark places of Africa, we got a repercussion, but he always remained the same. And whatever he was, God was always there. He was always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't speak something today to one and not speak that to others. What I say to one, I send to all. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, what happens to you? Well, I've continued till this day. Through his grace, he's taken care of me. The Bible said, fear not them that's able to destroy the body, and after that they can't do any more. They might beat you over the head with a billy stick. They might do whatever they want to do to you, whether it's under the guise of the law or whether it's out among the heathens when we've seen them jump with their pogo sticks and with their machetes. But whatever, there ain't but one thing they can do, and that is they can kill the body. After that, the Bible said they can't do any more. But said, I tell you who to fear. Fear him. But after that he hath killed the body, he's able to destroy the soul in hell. This is the one to fear. The other means nothing. That's just a little house you live in anyway. And whether they help you take a shortcut or whether they don't, you know, you're going to lay it down anyway. The time will be where you'll lay it down. So it doesn't matter one way or another. And so much the better to be able to lay it down for Christ. I recall something that the great man William Branham said. It comes to my mind at this time. They had threatened to kill him, which Brother Osborne, they did the same thing. They took a shot at him under a tent. The others, all ministers usually always go through something. But he said he was walking along, and that night he was getting going to the sacred desk, going to preach. And said as he walked along, said he was walking along, and he got to thinking, Lord, tonight they threatened to shoot me or kill me as I pass along here. And said he got to thinking and said, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Said he got to praising God to think, I'm going to die like a martyr for God. You know, now I ask myself the question, you know, you ask yourself the question, is that the way you feel? Somebody said, well, they're eccentric. People that do that, Brother Pike, are eccentric. Oh, no. Women have done it. I've related it to you where they put on their best dresses when they were informed ahead of time. You're going to burn at the stake. Said, we're going to kill you. And they put on their best dresses and was asked the question, why did you do that? Said, because we're going to die for Jesus. We want to look our best. I think that's marvelous. You know, then are we brave? Oh, no, I'm not to be tortured. I'm just a man. The song says, I'm only human. I'm just a man. See, and am I anything other than a man? Nothing. But the thing is, you know, I have Jesus, and that makes all the difference in the world. And my desire is to finish my course, and that with joy, to please the Lord Jesus without compromise or whatever. And I've not been a very good example as a pastor, nor a husband, nor a father, nor as a Christian. But there's one thing about it. I've tried, and I'm still trying. And all I can do, I'm like the little Benny. All I can do is the best I know how to do. You know, and if I can't, I was like the little Benny. He couldn't lay the egg as big as the bigger hen. But that's all he could do. And that's all I can do. And this is all I can do. And I may not be Oral Roberts and Till Osborne and Billy Graham and all the greats of the earth. And I'm not trying to be. And I'm not trying to imitate any of them. I'm not trying to act like them. I'm not trying to do that. If they spoke the truth, I speak what they speak, because we all speak the same thing. Even as they spoke what Paul preaches, I do the same. And people should, as to brothers, sisters, whatever. You know, but I'm not interested in the things of the world as far as I know my heart. I want to do the will of God, and I want to finish my ministry with joy, and I want to do whatever I can to help you on the way. So you pray for me and help me. If you want to walk with me, that's fine. If you've got something you want to do on your own, I have nothing to say about it. I'm not critical of it. I'm just saying that I know that you're going to be sorry. As I said the other day, one man that I know of that's here that's given me problems from the time that he came here with me in my services. And I pleaded with him not to, and he broke it. He finally broke it. But he hasn't stopped causing me problems in his spirit, nor the things that he has done that's been contrary with the spirit of error. God has not given us the spirit of error. See, and like I told some of them, I said, I saw the squadron of planes, and it was the beautiful planes, a whole squadron of them. And they were beautiful, and they were maintained good. They were kept up as to the maintenance. And I saw my men that manned these planes, and these planes were side by side. And I could give a command and into these planes, and these planes lift, and off they went together, and they were well able to make their goals and do what they wanted to do. I looked and I saw one other among us. His plane was what they call a little puddle jumper, if you know what that is. And the thing was almost like you couldn't hardly get it off the ground. And he was self-willed, and he was flying it, and he would do his own thing. It didn't matter what the rest of them done. He'd take this little thing and he'd try to get up and go over a great hurdle to a long distance, which of course I've seen him do. All the time I was worried. I thought, man, he'll get killed for sure. He's bound to get killed someday. God, please help that fellow. Help that fellow. Whereas I do that, I pray, Lord, be merciful as long as you can to me and to them. You know, but I never did get him under subjection. He was determined that he was going to do his own thing, and he has done it even until this very day. And of course, they that trouble you, God said, I'll trouble them. So we're going to sing another chorus too. The altars are open. You're welcome to come. And if you will, then come. If you can gather with me, that's fine. If not, whatever you're doing, you will influence somebody. You'll be scattered abroad. And you do it to me, you do it to Christ Jesus. Let's speak the same thing. Let's work together. If you can work with me, I need your help desperately. And if I can work with you, I'll do all I can to help you. If we work together, then we'll dwell together. We'll be rewarded together. If I bid you Godspeed and you're doing the right thing, God will reward me. If you bid me Godspeed and aid me in what I'm doing, then God will reward you if I'm doing the right thing. So then let's just sing together. We'll sing a chorus too, and then we'll let you go. I'm sorry if I held you up too long, but I felt like today that I needed to bring about a little exhorting. Peter said, as long as I'm with you, to stir up your pure mind, which is the mind of Jesus Christ. Let's just stir it up and let's do something for God. There's some of you that's capable of doing something for God. And you're welcome to go out, come back, preach, branch out, bear fruit, do whatever, establish a church wherever. I'll work with you. I'll do anything I can. And if you want to go on, then if you are taught in the things of God, then communicate with them that are taught in those things that are farther along than you, as it was Moses, 50, over a 500, over a 1,000. And then captains on up until it came to Moses. And if Moses couldn't answer it as the pastoral effort of that day, then he went to God. And in the multitude of this of counsel, there's safety. Stay within the multitude of counsel. God will help you. He'll strengthen you. He can be a great minister. And even as a young minister, you can do something for God. And God will help you, furbish and refurbish you. The same way with the sisters. They can do great things if they want to go to the missionary fields. Or if they want to do anything on the home front. Testify for God in any way as to the ministry. There is a sevenfold ministry. I know people say there's a fivefold ministry, but there's a sevenfold ministry. Somebody said, well, the Bible said the fivefold ministry. Well, I never read it like that. Maybe you can help me with that. But it's the sevenfold ministry, and it is apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, these kind of things. And then the other two is helps and governments. And helps takes in the broad scope of all these things. Just like a woman, she's the helpmate. See, and there's helps and many, many multiplied things in the realms of helps, whether it be deacons, whether it be musicians. Paul said, salute my women workers in God, whether it be women or whether it be men. There are helps and there are governments. Governments are the controlling factors. The helps are those that help control. It's like the presidents, like the senators, it's like the governors. And then look, what if you just had a president? What if you just had a senator? What if you just had a governor? What would it be like if you didn't have anybody within the White House, anybody within the Capitol, anybody within the radius of the fields of these other things? See, what if you didn't have it as to the helps and governments? See, don't say you are a minister and you're going to tell everybody what to do and you don't need nobody. You're not even going to line up with the pastor. Don't say God told you what to do and you feel you should go over this when everybody else is going the opposite way. See, or you should go in that direction. Or that you should be over this, going over this, whatever. You know, God wants you to go over the Word of God. He wants you to understand the Word of God. He wants you to go in the direction of the Word of God. See, you don't go over this and just pass over this to get to what you want to. You don't do that. You don't do that. All right, so we're going to sing together. While you're here, keep your mind on Christ. Keep your mind on Christ. If you're sitting behind me, keep your mind on God. You know, I ain't got my mind on the ladies. That's your mind. That's where the corruption is. See, and you wouldn't look at me like that every time I look at the ladies. Does God know that? Of course He knows that. And you that do that, you don't realize how childish and foolish that you are. I'm the kind of person, if I was going to be a renegade and going after the world, you know what I'd have done? I'd have never left the world. And that goes for you sitting over here too, that I picked up that thing from the other night that's been in corruption. You remember that? Remember that. Keep your mind on God. You know, you are altogether out of bounds in your thoughts. And you keep your mind on God. And I'll tell you what, if you'll keep your mind off of the women folk, you won't be sitting there judging me every time I look in the direction of the women folk. It makes it very difficult here because my women and men are segregated. Usually in an audience, they're all together. And the preacher preaches and he can look in all of them. But they segregate themselves here because it follows the Jewish thing. And every time I look in one direction, the other's got some kind of feeling about it. So you stop your foolishness. You know, if you can't, then be a real man and step up and stand up and say, Brother Pike, let me tell you, and especially this and this behind me, stand up like a man and say it. I've said enough here that you should stand up. Somebody says, well, what do you mean? I mean, I had one out here on the bench right here, and he was determined that he was going to hide it and not stand up full of corruption. I was determined that he wasn't going to do it. And I said things and said things and said things in the audience till I forced him to stand up. Just like they did in Jesus' audience. And the chaff of wind, or the chaff with the wind, and they went away like that. See, you say, but that's my friend, that's my relative. I can't help it. It happens to my relatives. Like I told my son the other day, I said, I love you, I want you working with me. I said, but two can't walk together unless they agreed. I said, if you do the things that you're doing, though they seem to be little things, and he said he didn't think there's nothing wrong with, I said, men, you can't walk together. Same way with your relatives. All right, let's sing together. Be a man and tell me. Let's sing this song, I Love Him. I love Him. I love Him. All because that he first loved me, and he purred. Why don't you tell me if you feel that way? Keep your mind on Jesus, your thoughts on Jesus. The fact that your thoughts run to and fro proves it's of the devil, and it proves the devil's got you. And if he was one with us, your mind would be one with us. And if you were one with Christ, you'd walk with the Spirit and walk in harmony with brothers and sisters. Whether you be man or whether you be woman, it's all the same. You wouldn't try to get right here out in the front so somebody could look at you or to project yourself. What you do, you'd blend in with the rest of them. Let's sing this again. I love him. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, what are you saying? Can't you be tender? Folks, let me tell you, folks have good common sense. You don't have to carry somebody on the wing because you say, well, they don't know. They know. They've got good common sense. They don't even have to have God to understand certain ethics that they've been trained to and told about all their life. The flesh wants preeminence. It wants to be seen. It wants to be heard. It wants to be lifted up. It wants to be out front. See, it don't want to blend in with the rest. And it wants to find fault with the minister as an accuser all the time because they themselves are corrupt. And you take those same people and you'll find out that's where the corruption is. See, since I've said these things, it just took just a few minutes ago. And I've said these things and all of a sudden it went away. Somebody said, you don't know that. Oh, yes, I do know that. Somebody said, well, why didn't it go away when you said them things? It didn't. Though I reproved, though I rebuked, it didn't go away. You know what it done? It stirred up others where it was there that I've seen also in their lives. It didn't go away. Somebody said, but you said it did go away. All of a sudden it did go away. Because you said something about it. Oh, no, it didn't. It just made it worse. But when I said something and it struck them and they said, my God, you know, he is a respected person. I see him. I know who he's talking about. I know what he's saying. And then they realize it's God, and then they went away. But let me tell you something. That's wrong. That's wrong. That proves you're playing with the devil. See, but it does make you know one thing, that what I'm saying is right. What I'm saying is right, and you know that I ain't playing around. Let me tell you something, folks, since we've this far along. You don't have to rise up and let a spirit get a hold of you. You don't have to do that. It's like I said about the brother the other day. I've got people here. Their disposition is carnality. Their disposition is carnality. Women and men alike. I'm still filling things out of my men audience over here. Yes, sir. All right, let's just bow our heads and we'll pray together. Let's pray together. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the people that are here that love God. But Heavenly Father, you know there's numbers of these people that don't love you. And Father, they're not walking in the Spirit. And God, you know they're my enemy and your enemy in the carnal mind. And you know that some of them are false brothers and sisters here among us. They have the love of the world in them. And they resent me, Heavenly Father, even as they did Jesus and the apostles. And they find fault continually in their spirit. Lord, with me. And oh Lord, even as I feel right now, though the thing that was behind me broke, Lord, all of a sudden it broke, even as it did last night when I said some things among the men and this person was there. And they're going and coming, but Father, they broke. And then Lord, over to my left here in the audience, you know, as among those men right there, the thoughts, dear God, help me to keep my composure and rebuke those people to their face. You know those that do that are corrupt. And Father, that they're seeking fault with me. You know that. And dear God, help Scott, has just come to be with us. Here among us, Lord, help him to have the understanding of God and the wisdom of God. Help him to do that thing to put the flesh down and lift the Spirit of God up so they can be great and mighty in thee. Likewise, help my women folk. Father, help them. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would do that. I pray that you would do that. I pray, Lord, that you would bless, strengthen these people, causing me to tarry a little bit when I ordinarily would have dismissed very quickly and let them go. Oh Lord, help me not to call these people out. Father, to bring them up to the front, unless it's the act of God. But if it is, don't let me hold back. Let me tell them. Father, let me call them if that's what it is. All right, I feel things kind of subsiding. Feel my platform clear. Feel my lady folks clear. Over here, most of my men clear. But I'm telling you, one or two of you over here that's doing that, whether I call you up here or whether I don't call you up here, you're in trouble. It'd have been better if you'd have volunteered and come up here, you know, and just got prayed for. Just like Scott, when Scott realized what he did and come up here. See, you'd have been better off if you'd done that very thing. You that are not right with God, you that know that you're doing these things and guilty, one of the best things that could happen to you is for you to step out and let everybody see you and acknowledge you. I appreciate so much the brother that spoke out down yonder. When the brother spoke up, it was such a great, mighty thing because he proved himself to be the man that I thought he was, the person that I thought him to be, because he refused to let anything have his life and not acknowledge the truth. The Bible said wisdom is justified of the children. And when children of wisdom hear wisdom, they'll say yea and amen. And if it's wrong, then they'll step out. You know, if it's something against them, and they'll step out and they'll say yes, Brother Pine. And there's some among you men that need to step out. Of course, I've got them among the women, but the women absolutely is clear. And up here on the platform, they clear. Not because they are clear, nor because there isn't any among the women. But the thing is, when they saw me do something, they said, you know, that's right. You know why? Because they saw that with their natural eyes. That was something they could see. And then when they heard me do what I did, they thought, my God, the man is on the level. It's not prejudice. It's not a thing of being prejudiced of black and white. And the thing on the one that was here on the platform that absolutely wouldn't break, that did break momentarily last night and picked up again today, it broke because it shocked him. Now let me tell you something. You know it's truth now, and you better leave it alone. I'm telling you, you better leave it alone, because one person that come in the last few days, I reproved them in a parabolic way as not to hurt them. And I told a brother when they left, I said, I love this person. I want to help this person. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. This is the last warning that they'll get before the judgment. I said, according to what I understand, this is the last warning that they'll get before the judgment. All right. Brother that's leaning up the post of white pants, come up here if you will. And Brother Richard, come around here, son, if you will. All right. Brother Dave, I'm going to lay your guitar down and come over here if you will. Brad, come up, leaving that, coming around here if you will. I want to pray for you. Brother Gilbert, how about coming down here if you will? And Brother Gilbert, Shear. These lights are kind of blinding. You ask for my prayers. You want to do things. I'm willing to pray for you. Appreciate these two brethren that stepped out like this. Is Brother Gilbert not here? Now, I want to pray for you. I'm here to help you. But let's be out front. And what we are, who we are, what we think. Let's be out front, because God knows your thoughts. And something didn't set well a while ago when I said something about bold as a lion just before then. And some thought it was a little boastful, which I can't imagine you feeling like that after all these years I preached to you and me trying to uphold the Bible or speak of those things. Paul even said, I speak as a fool. Bear with me a little in my folly. And made the statement that I have abundantly labored more than all of the apostles. Or whatever. I've been in trials more, perils more. Was he boasting? Oh no. He spoke as a fool to their thinking. He spoke the truth. He knew that, but he knew they thought he was a fool. And he spoke it to let them know where he was standing. Now, I love you, all of you. I love you. I want to help you. But let's be honest and let's be straight. Even these brethren that are standing before us, if you want to do a work, and I know some of you have received some things for God, you can do it. You can do it. And I say this in the light of sometimes we have babes here. But I'm going to tell you something. As long as you're out of harmony with me in your mind and thoughts, it means that somewhere or another, you're saying things when you're not in my presence. And you're talking when you're not in my presence. And these things are in your mind. And because of that, they become a wedge and they become a problem to little Bethlehem. And the Bible said, mark them that cause division that's contrary to the things that you've been taught in God. And these things, somebody said, well, you're talking about these brethren here? There's numbers of you that's among us. I felt to call these men up here. Now, and you listen at me. If you're going to do a work for God, you're going to do it in harmony with the Spirit of God. If not, you don't have a work. You don't have a work. Now, as you stand here, this isn't setting too well. I know that. I know that. And I know that you want to say something. So I'm going to ask them. Brack, say something. You've been wanting to say something for a long time to Brother Pike. Now, I feel like that before the audience, you should say it. See, we come together before the audience. And this way, when we stand before the audience, you have a right to say what you want to say. I have a right to say what I want to say. You say, well, I'm embarrassed, Brother Pike. I'm not embarrassed. You say it to me. This gives you a chance. Any one of you brethren here, some of you have been thinking some things you ought not to think. You said it to others. You thought it to the others. Now, why not say it to me? I picked Brack out because Brack feels like he's called to the ministry. And yet he's had things against me for a long, long time. Years. And I've worked with him and he'll shake them out. Even to the extent of God giving him dreams and showing him that he should follow me. And he acknowledges it. And I believe the dreams was of God. But that don't mean that you got God, and that don't mean you're following God. That don't mean you're a Christian. I'm not saying he's not a Christian. I'm not saying he's not called. I'm just saying he needs to get this out of his system. Because I have to take him off of the musical instruments, as I've done two or three times, and put him back because he was a kid just developing. But it's like I told my Joe, told my Danny, I said, you've been children. I carried you on the wings. I worked with you. I said, Joe, let me tell you something. Danny, let me tell you something. You ain't kids no more. I said, you're grown. I said, I've dealt with you like a child. I said, today I'm dealing with you like a man, Joe. Brack, you're a man now. I'm dealing with you like a man. All these years I've dealt with you like a child. Now, if you have something to say, now's the time to say it. Let all the audience hear it. Let's everybody listen now. You're the judges.
I've been at a problem about judging Brother George in my mind, you know.
Exactly the truth.
And there's something I've been born with, a demon spirit. I even told my father it's a satanic spirit. And it causes me to judge him in my mind. You know,
exactly
to judge him and compare him. And this wasn't really it was war with my spirit to keep me from submitting to the leadership of what God wanted me to do and take part with the brotherhood and everything. And I just want to be delivered from the satanic spirits. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to go to heaven. I want everything that's Satan, you know, everything that's unlike Christ in my life, I want it to go. And I just had a dream the other day, two or three days ago. I told my wife that I had a dream and I was before Brother George, just like this right here. And he was going to pray for us. He was going to pray
exactly
for us.
That's exactly right, right.
And I said, I don't know what the dream had to do with, but every time that Brother George would take me off the music instrument, I would have a dream about being taken off of it, and it would come to pass. So my dad, I said, the dream I told you about came to pass. But I just prayed it, you know. Like Brother George said, it was one of the things, like he said, book learning or whatever, get a lot of knowledge, and the devil will puff you up in your mind, so you know something that other people don't know. And the self-esteem is something that's been in my life ever since I was a little boy growing up. And it's been a great problem. It's been something that's hard to deal with, hard to get out of your life. I told some people once before, I said, I have such a spirit of pride since I was growing up to when I look in the mirror, I said, it seems like when I'm even sad in my spirit, I look proud anyway. I said, I just want God to move it out of my life. And
let me say something, folks. The way I feel about this boy is I love him. I told my wife this morning, I said, Brad, to me, Betty is an intelligent person, got great ability. I said, but he's going to have help. And I said, I had purpose in my heart that I was not going to move him off of the instrument no more because I need Brad. And he is telling you the truth from his heart, which means that the good character is there as I felt. Or he couldn't tell the truth. But it also means that the Spirit of God has been accurate right down to the T, just like I told you all this time. And I've never called him up. But I did this because of some of you. Because of some of you. Some of you are doing this thing, and you are doing it willfully. Willfully. Whereas he's had a problem fighting it. And I went along with him because he was so young. Now, to face these things is to get free from these things. And I want you to understand that I am not trying to pry into your life or look into your life or try to find fault in your life. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying that if I'm going to work with you, I've got to have your fellowship. This doesn't make me feel any different from Brack or away from Brack or distant to Brack. Because I love Brack, and I know this was here all the time. I still love Brack. See, now, if you had a child and you knew that he wasn't in agreement with you, would you hate the child? Or would you love the child? If you knew he was doing right, wouldn't you want the child to conform to what you wanted and try to live? And I did this again to show you, as to relatives, some of you relatives, you didn't see this, you didn't understand this, and you still thought I was being abusive. And I did it for your sake, that you might know and that you might understand. See, now, I'm not going to stand here and bring all these people up here to do this. But Brack, I asked Brack to do it because this is enough confirmation. Everyone standing here would have to come up here and tell you some things if I just pointed it out as to what has been going on. And some standing here hopes that I won't call them up here. Because if I do call them up here, it's going to be a hard case for them to do what Brack done. That's going to be a hard case because they know that they've been contrary to me ever since they've been with me. And it'd be the act of God for them to come up here and make a confession. Whereas we're at a point right now, it's so dangerous in the coming of the Lord, anybody is liable to do anything. But you can be sure that they don't want to do that. I would like to say that I really appreciate Earth Elise. I really appreciate him. And I appreciate that, Brad. I appreciate that. Now, wisdom, the children of wisdom will justify wisdom. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe. I know you don't believe. You're an unbeliever. It wouldn't make no difference what anybody said, what anybody does. You're not going to believe. Like the Jews, all of the things in their midst, they said, show us a sign. Jesus just says, as if to say, you're blind. You'll never see a sign. The only sign you got is what the scripture says in Jonah in the belly of the whale. He'd done all kinds of things, perceived their thoughts, he'd done great miracles, all kinds of things before them. But remember this, brethren, if you're going to work with me, you're going to stop cutting me down in your mind, or we can't walk together. And I'm not saying that to find fault with you. I can't walk with you. If your spirit isn't right, I can't walk with you. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I don't just try to tear you up. You're just carnal minded. You're plain carnal minded. You've got your things on the mind of the things of the world and you're not following the leadership. Why did God keep holding me up this morning? Holding me up when I was trying to dismiss you. That's the truth. Because he wants these things done to where they'll come out in the open because he's got to get together a people that's going to be one mind and one accord and one spirit. One spirit. I appreciate somebody among our lady folks that kept a good spirit. It was hard for her to keep a good spirit because of some things I said involved in relatives. Whereas there was a time when she didn't have that strength. But I appreciate the fact that she did. Abraham laid his son on the altar. See, and she was willing to lay her loved one on the altar so that she could believe the truth. And besides that, she knows what I say is absolutely a profound fact. She's already witnessed it for herself. And she knows it's true. You know what we got to realize is though we have a son, though we might have a relative, whatever, if we see them, we know when they do wrong and when they don't do wrong. The child is known by his doings. Why should we then get upset with the minister? Somebody said, well, that's my relative. How in the name of reason can a preacher preach without hitting somebody's relatives? All of them's relatives. Everybody's got some relative, you know, in the world. How did you even get in the world without a relative? And can the preacher preach without hitting your relatives? And then you go talk and you gossip and you backbite and you get upset and you do all these things and say, well, are you going to heaven? If you're going to heaven, you might as well make up your mind that you're going to cut across your relatives. And if you can't cut across your relative, you ain't going to heaven. If it's a little boycott thing where you just get together and talk among each other, and every time something's said, it just like a bushfire, and everybody knows about it, and you try to pull everybody to your way, you might as well forget about it. You ain't got nothing. You ain't going nowhere. I preach to people, not to relatives. You know, if they're your relatives, I can't help that. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. And when I tell the truth, I try to tell it about whoever, my relatives or whatever. You know, and if you want some confirmation, I could call some people right here that would tell you just in the last day or two that I went to them and I said, we cannot walk with this person that is one of my relatives. Close relatives. How close? In my immediate family. Some not in my immediate family. I told them. I said, we can't do it. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. All right. We're going to take just a few more minutes, and I'm going to do this. Now, I want to say again, I appreciate the fact that Brett did that because that takes the thing out from between us. When he acknowledged truth, the thing doesn't have any strength. See, it's not something to you. It's not something I have to say something about it troubling me or whatever. I don't have to say because you already know. Brack knows. He made the confession. He wants help. He wants strength. Now, I'm just going to say this. If there's another one that would like to come up here and say something, you know, whether you want to cut me down or say it's a lie or whatever, it doesn't matter to me if you want to come up here because whatever God shows me, that's the way it is anyway, whether you confirm it or don't confirm it. And how many times has this been confirmed? Even as Brother Taylor, I noticed him saying something today when we were saying something down there to a brother. And I said, well, the brother, he knows this is the truth, but the rest of them don't. So he didn't acknowledge it. I said something concerning another brother. He didn't acknowledge it. I thought, well, if I say something, because there's three, maybe they will acknowledge the mouth of two or three witnesses. They didn't do it. And finally, it disturbed me so I said, well, all right. I said, there's 13 people here, and what we'll do by the help of the Lord, we'll go down the line and tell each one of them. And then after that, I'll ask them individually. And everybody can hear. And when we finish, 13 people, how many people was it, Brother Taylor? How many of them acknowledged it was the truth? Or the last one of them. See, because when I directly ask them, they had to do it. See, I don't want to do that. I don't desire to do that. If I say to somebody out here, you sit out there and say, well, I don't know where it's truth. He's playing a guessing game. No, I can call you out. I can bring you up here, and you can stand right here. And you got to do one or two things when I call you up here. You got to stand here and lambast, like the woman did when I stood up and rebuked her, and let the devil use you by denying the truth and being cut off, or either if you are an elect seed, you'll have to stand here and acknowledge the truth and say, well, I'm just an error, but I ain't gonna come against this. All right, so I'm just giving you a chance before we close out. If you want to come up here, David, if you want to come up here, you're welcome to come up here. Listen real close when these people come, irregardless of which way they say.
Exactly the truth as far as he said about the filth and that thing. I don't want to be like that. I want it all out of my life completely. But from a very small, when I was real young, I've been involved with filth of the flesh of some of my younger friends that I was with. And I don't want to be like that. I wasn't trying to be like that. I guess it's just because I have never got it out of my system that I was like that, I guess. I don't want to be like that.
But I love David, just like I said about Brack. I need David. And I worked with David, tried my best to work with him, because I love him. I love you. See, and is it me that loves you, or is it God that loves you? Someone said, well, love, Brother Pike, love. I ain't talking about the mushy stuff, you know, where you get with your wife and children and this make-believe stuff. I love my wife. I love my children. I love you. He says, well, you don't know what love is. You know, love, love. Now, so help me, God, I love you. And it's not me that loves you. It's God that loves you through me. And I allow him to love you through me. See, but you need to do something. Let me tell you, just because Brack and David said that, that don't mean there isn't some more standing there. There's some more standing there. And they're still even standing here. There's one that's standing here right now that feels that he's straight with God and feels like that he's all right with God, everything's all right, and that he don't have any derogative thoughts like that as to the carnality that I'm speaking of, and he's as carnal as he can be. See, but I'm not going to ask him to come up here. I'm not going to ask him to say that or tell you that or whatever. If these testimonies that you hear from time to time and these things is not enough to convince you that I believe in God, that God's in my heart, and that God's telling you these things and that the revelation is coming from God and not from me. And when I tell you these things, that I'm trying to safeguard you and watch over you and watch over my little lamb, if I can't convince you of that, there ain't no need of me saying nothing. Would you talk a little loud? I can't. Go right ahead, brother. Any of them that volunteers to say something, that's on their own.
You know, I've been here about 2 years, and I watched my shepherd's life, and I love my shepherd, and I've tried to listen to what he says, and I've tried to apply it in my life, and I haven't been... I've been a failure at it because of the carnal mind. I learned how to do things, and this is an excuse. It's to show that my shepherd's right, which y'all know that and believe that and love him. But I've worked things out in my own natural understanding in a carnal way so long and made things work with my hands. I've supported my family in a way, and my shepherd has been none but teaching me how to walk in faith and teaching these things, and I haven't applied them. And then he sees me keep going out in the world and wrapped up in the carnal mind and in the carnality of trying to make things happen. And I'm in his way and I'm in God's way. And I know it wars with him and he sees it. And I apologize to you.
I love you very dearly. Right?
I know you do. And I love you and I love this, the brotherhood. And I love these people. And I made a statement the other day. I said, I don't want to be one that walks in your presence that hinders you and causes other people to be robbed of the revelation of Christ. Because when our shepherd gets into that mind of Christ, and one like myself comes in with that carnal reasoning or that carnal mind, and I walk in his presence, it puts him into warfare, and it robs you, brethren. And I apologize to you. And I don't want to be in that place. And I don't want to be there. But this is it. If I can't submit to my shepherd here, there ain't no place else for me. There's nowhere else for me to go to. If I can't do this, I ain't going out starting my own ministry. Because if I can't submit and find favor with this man of God right here, it's over for me. There ain't no other life. There ain't no other ministry. There ain't nothing. This is it. And I apologize to you, brethren, if I've hindered the revelation and the mind of Christ of going forth because I enter in his presence. And I truthfully in my heart, a lot of times I'll try to catch myself. And my shepherd told me that yesterday. And I'll try to catch myself and I'll try to enter into his presence. But still that carnality is strong. And a lot of times I've seen this man build things around here in the short time I've been here out of the mind of Christ. And I've warred with him. I know I think, well, wait a minute, I built them things before some. And that's the carnal mind. But he, through mercy and grace, would sit back and show me, instead of reproving me, let me see the mind of Christ work. And I appreciate him, and I appreciate his love, and it's an action of love of him calling me forward. Because I'd rather him pull me out here and rebuke me or reprove me, whatever, openly, as have a spirit between me and my shepherd or between the Lord. Because this is life. This is eternal life right here. And this is it. And if I cannot make it now, there ain't no hope for me. So whatever it takes, if he has to call me up here on a daily basis, that'd be an action of love. And it's not, you know, it's not embarrassing to me for the fact it is, but then it isn't for the fact because I want to be right with the Lord and my shepherd.
You know, I love Rob. And here's the thing. I didn't call these men out because these are bad folks. I could have called any of you out. You know, 5, 10, 15, take them out here. But I just wanted to give you some example of confirmation this morning that these things that we're saying is true. And that we need to regard what the word of the Lord is, because it's Christ speaking to me as well as you. As I said this morning, I have faults just like you do. And you should be merciful to me and work with me. See, and naturally I can't just stand here and go on to have different ones up here. But I can say this, that if I ask you the question, if I'd say, now look folks, every honest-hearted person that's here that will acknowledge like these boys are acknowledging, come up here, you know what happened? Every last one of you would be up here. Every last one of you. There wouldn't be one of them left. Now, Scott's wanted to say something. He just come to be with us. And I think he's from Lakeland, Florida, is it, Scott?
Yes, sir. I was just wanting to make a confession that the Lord brought me down here to cleanse my soul and be holy with him forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
I appreciate that testimony, Scott. Now let's work together. Let's love the Lord and let's work together. I appreciate some of them that voluntarily came up. They voluntarily came up here, and I appreciate that. But I love you. I'm not here to make a spectacle out of you, nor to try to hurt you. I'm only here to try to bring a confirmation of the word of the Lord that this is the truth. And the end of the world is here. And so help me, God. I fear and I shake and I tremble at the word of the Lord. Who shall I look to? He that trembleth at my words. See, and in this, I tremble at the word of the Lord. See, it's like my brother Richard here. I was talking to my wife a few days ago. I said, Betty, I said, Richard is fixing to get into problems. Richard was standing back at the door, and I started out the door. And I said, I never heard Richard say this before. And Richard wasn't saying anything ugly. As long as he's been with me, he's been one of the finest Christian people that I have ever known. Maybe he can relate back to the Jews, or I don't know. But I met Jews that wasn't Christians. But he's tried to be straight. He's tried to be honest. He's tried to be godly. He's tried to pay his bills. He's tried to walk upright. He's tried to be an example. And him, his wife, you know, his families, they have a little problems like all of us. But I heard him say something. And I had mentioned to my wife before, I said, Richard is beginning to get tilted a little bit. You know, a good name. God's blessed him. A lot of them have done the same thing. And the income and whatever, God's blessed him. I said, but I heard him say something, one or two things there. I said, he's in trouble. I never heard him say that before. And as I say, it wasn't nothing ugly or arrogant as the way that somebody might think. It wasn't that at all. I said, Betty, he's in trouble. That's the way I said it. Within 2 or 3 days, this thing happened. Richard came to me and talked to me, made his confessions. And Richard will tell you that it was exactly to the T, the thing that I told him about and the thing that I told my wife about. It was the thing that got the best of him. And this thing that happened to him was just enough time to allegorically use him at the time of the Passover. And not only that, but to give him enough time to stay away from the job and the natural side of life so that he could get reconciled and get his thoughts straightened out. Let's sing a chorus together. I love you. I appreciate you. I can tell some of you are in an atmosphere now that you just love to get it out of your system and say something. But it's no need for us to keep saying things. The thing is, it is just the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses to confirm things. And the thing is that you're willing to get it out of your system. That's all it takes anyway, because that means that the thing is broke. But I do ask you to do one thing. Now, some of you as of late that I've gave some warnings to, and I think I talked to Brother Taylor about this, I'm not sure. But whatever, I know I did one or two in confidence. But don't do those things. See, some of you have been with me a long time. You've done heard this thing a long time. And some of you are older than others. Like Brack. Brack's still a young fella. Scott's still a young fella. See, Earthlies, some are older than that. And more is going to be required. To whom much is given, much is required. Even if it's the time to listen, it'll be required of you. See, and don't do that. Whatever you do, don't do that. Because I know for sure before the living God that some of you that are standing here, you're fixing to have the judgments of God. It's fixing to hit you. You know, whether you ever confess, whether you don't confess, whether you say it's right or say it's wrong or whatever, I know for sure, and I'm telling you. And you know there's a number of people that's come to this church that are dead, they're gone. You know, could be you today, me tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I saw a vision, as I was telling my wife, where I was standing behind the sacred desk like this. And I was talking to y'all. And I said, folks, I'm fixing to go. And up I went. Just like that. See, and the Lord let me know that, you know, it's like the rapture. See, so what if the pastor did go? Anyway, it wouldn't make no difference which way he went. The spirit still goes up to God who gave it. See, what if he did go? What if there was a course finished? What if everything was just right? Look at the calendar. Look at the things right now. Somebody said, well, you say the end of the world's coming this year. No, I told you, I haven't said that. I haven't said that. I haven't said it's coming next year. I didn't say the wrath of God's coming next year. I said calendar-wise, everything shows the end of the 2,000 years coming up. And I spoke of the way that God had worked. And I said, if there's 2,000 years ending, if God is going to have the tribulation, it's got to be within the confines of the 2,000 years. If it is going to come according to the way it has always come in the past, as to 2,000 years ended. And the scientists that say the world will come up right at the end of the 7,000 years. Even the man that's predicted that in this very month that there's going to be a dividing asunder as to America, three parts, as to California breaking off, as to Florida breaking off, which I personally believe, though they say he's never missed a prediction, that he will miss it. According to what I understand, it will not happen that way this month. If the man meant that this is the beginning of something, then that's different. But according to what I understand, it won't happen that way. Now, the earthquakes and different things coming, the breaking up of these things, I not only believe it will be the United States, but it will be all the world. And it is at hand, and it isn't a matter of it showing itself this May. It's already in progress. It's already been in progress. And we're fixing to come to an exposure of it. See, because it's time for the church to change. So irregardless to whether the Lord comes this year or next year, if he don't come at all, you know, that's his business. I say he will come. And I say he'll be on time. And I say that he's coming according to the way he's always come. And the calendar dates is going to fall right in line. Somebody would say, you mean as to the day and the hour? No, not as to the day and the hour. He offset the calendar so you wouldn't know. Because he wants it to come upon the world as a snare, because they won't serve God. So everybody can't run in and get religious. But on you that dwell in heaven, you don't dwell in the earth. He don't want it to come as a snare on you. So then I know that the end of the world is here. I know it irregardless of the calendar or anything else. Revelation shows what the world is and the end of the world and where it's at right now. Even the time element that's involved, just like it shows as to the thoughts of your hearts and the intents of your heart, that is the spirit of truth. It also very carefully shows where it's at, the stride of it, everything. And, you know, I don't expect you to believe that. I'm just supposed to preach. I'm just telling you that. But anyway, you know this, the mouth of two or three witnesses. And we could go on and go on. And I know this is taking a little long. So, well, you're holding off a little long, Brother Pike. We didn't hear it all. This has been kind of long. Now let's go. It might be that you shouldn't go today. It might be better that you stay here for the rest of the day and spend your day in prayer. You know, it might be good if the pastor even requested that, and then we just go into the service tonight. That would tear some of you to pieces, and some of you wouldn't no more do that. You're talking about honoring the pastor and trying to make people believe you'd honor the pastor. You wouldn't no more do that than nothing. See, but I'm just telling you that it could be that one of you might be going out today. And the longer you stay here, the longer you live. See, but I'm going to tell you one thing, you may not. I'm certainly praying you won't. But you need to be ready to follow the Lord and led by the Spirit of God, because that's the way you get killed, is doing your own thing. Getting your own leading, going where you want to. The steps of the righteous ordered by the Lord. When you do this thing, it's not ordered by the Lord. See, and you run into problems. So let's just praise the Lord, love the Lord, and I keep wanting to close the service. Let's at least sing a song together. Let's sing that little chorus, "The Stone Is Rolled Back." You that need to go to lunch or feel like that you've been here too long or that I'm holding too long, with all reverence and respect, I don't feel bad at you. You can ease on out. I just feel to do what I feel to do, and because of that, I'd rather just wait till I feel clear in my soul. And I know when we get to this point, a lot of spirits are pushing, you know, because in their mind they're not thinking like I'm thinking. And I know that according to you, you know, I should let you go. But nevertheless, I just felt to do what I've done. I still feel to just wait, just so I'm satisfied about it. One of the things that I feel that's holding me up is that there's some others that want to say something, but I know that some of them just want to get up here to this pulpit and just want to come up here. I have them even like this. They just want to get up here before the people. See? And when they get up here, I know that the fear of God's going to take hold of them, and they're going to find themselves making a confession. There ain't no other way you can do it. It's like Balaam. He was going to do a certain thing. But when he got over there and he started to say something, the Spirit of God came and he said exactly what God said say. So I know how it'll work. But the thing is, I just feel that I should just do like I'm doing for right now. So then let's sing a little chorus together. Gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, the tomb, it's empty. Gone, to sit at the Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. I'm alive forever. Oh, oh, I'm gone. The heart of stone is gone. My flesh to the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For I'm gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, I'm alive forevermore. Now, there's one of the brethren that's standing here that feels he's been misunderstood. But he knows that he's been contrary to me for a long time. But he still feels like that he's been trying and he's misunderstood. And he would like to try to explain it. And at the same time to acknowledge, you know, some things. But I'm telling you, brother, that ain't the way to do it. The way to do it is just like Brack did it. Just like Brack did it. Just like David did it. Like those two did it. It's not to get up here to explain something and try to explain it away. As I said before, as to whatever you want to do, that's your business. I have nothing to say about it. And if you want to go preach, Like I told Rob yesterday, I believe he was talking. I said, go preach, evangelize, have a church. I told my wife this morning, I said, there's a number of them that ought to be doing something for God. That's fine. But I do say one thing. The ones that have gone so far had the wrong motive, even though they want to get out there, and I let them out there. And they had the wrong motive. And some of them had good fidelity, good character. But you know what happened to some of them? And to some of them that's gone from here. See, and the others would have gone the same route, but God let one thing happen to them, another thing happen to them, and another thing happen to them. And still, right now, you don't know, maybe, but I do. Things are still happening to them right now because they still too much self. They want to preach. They want to be out there. They want churches. They want to do these things, but there's too much self. And because of that, it's problems. Just like I made the statement, somebody come to me the other day and said, I want to do such and such. I said, that's fine. It's fine. They came back to me again. I said, that's fine. No problem. Do it. And then they came and said, well, I'm going to do such and such. And I, with all reverence and respect, I said, sure. I said, do all that you can for yourself. Or I said, do all that you can, and I called the man's name. And I said, oh my God, what have I done? What did I say? I was going to say, sure, do all you can for God. But see, it wasn't in line there. And the Lord wanted it to come out like it was. And it shocked me. See, like, can you speak anything except what God wants you to speak? When the man said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I said, I wasn't going to speak in the name of the Lord. I said, you do whatever. And of course, when they do whatever, as to themselves, they scatter the flock. Somebody said, but I know they're doing something for God. No, you don't know they're doing something for God. See, and this is the bad part. You do something and you say, well, I'm going to help them. But then when you nitty-gritty it down, as the world calls it, you find out that you got a personal motive. And you know what the motive is a lot of times? It's lust. It's women involved. You've got it all planned out. The pastor don't know nothing about it. The others don't know nothing about it, but you got it all planned out. What you're going to do to get admiration is your personal touch so that people will know it's personally you. See, God knows all those things. That's not God. I don't care. You know, you do whatever you want to. I'd give you my shoes. I have given them away and walked on barefooted. I'd give you my shoes if it was anything to you. All that you got, all that you are, do whatever you want to, give whatever you want to. I try to give it away as much as I can as to what I get. You do the same thing, but don't play games with God. Don't play games with the brethren. Don't cause division. Don't do these things and just get yourself killed and get yourself hurt. All right. Let's lift our hands up together. We're going to sing a little chorus. If God spared you, then be thankful. He certainly wants to. And if God used you to be a testimony to substantiate truth, be thankful. Be thankful that you got that kind of manhood in God, because you can go a long, long way, folks. Don't let the intellectual cover up that ability that Christ has given you. Now, I feel my audience clear. I feel some of them a little disappointed. They wanted to say things. But maybe it's better that you didn't. Maybe it's better that you didn't. The ones that did say something, that's good enough. God had a reason for that. One thing I want you to know when I go to close, I don't have anything against you. I'm not finding fault. I'm not an accuser of the brethren. I love you. I've given my life for you as much as I know. Trying to, anyway. And I know that you love me. And I know a lot of you are little babes and you're just toddling along and you need help. I know that. You're my sons and daughters in the Lord, Paul said, I've begotten you in the gospel. And I love you, and I want you to be with me, and I want to be with you. And you pray for me, I pray for you. But whatever you do, get down to business. It's late. It's late. It's so much later than you'll ever know. If this year passes and the Lord don't come, next year passes and the Lord don't come, the 7 year passes and the Lord don't come, be sure that I'm telling you the truth. Be sure, because there's a lot of things that you don't see and a lot of things that you don't understand. And where you dwell, you need to be dwelling in heaven. I tell you that. And then you'd see real clearly and wouldn't be covered up in your mind by these things that's going on in the earth as to the falseness of the glitter, the glamour. The stars just falling from heaven. They've been reflectors. They had to be there in this particular heaven that they've been in. And they're falling from heaven. And the reason is like the middle of the week when God cuts down the vine, he doesn't need those reflectors anymore. The Gentiles can't reflect anymore. The body can't reflect anymore. You've come out from among them. The Jews have been changed. And right now it's right that way with the spiritual. See, they've been used as those reflectors. Now they're falling because the children are coming out. The real stars are coming out. See, and all those reflectors, even those that are among you, some reflectors. And now all these are falling from heaven. They're ending their great ministries and they're falling. Falling from heaven. But now the true heaven is on its way. The third heaven. And the true stars, which are burning lights. Not intellectual. Not looking for the glamour of the world. The money, the prestige. Not that. Not problems as to races. But a brotherhood of all men, all women, who love the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, we've tarried along this morning. Always be real diligent. Because as it was when Aaron tarried long, judgment was determined upon the people. If he just quickly, everything was well. And if God have us today as to yesterday the same, then today, maybe he's tarrying long for a reason. And he most surely is. And maybe there's something, his judgment determined upon some of you. And you need to stop. And you need to think. Now, before we close this prayer, I'm just going to say it like this. I know many hearts of trouble, many hearts among the men and the women, the girls and the boys, many hearts of trouble. See, and yet they are at peace to the extent they saw confirmation of truth, that people said that is the spirit of truth. See, so it be God. But I'm going to say this. If you want me to pray for you as I close right here, you can step up a little bit closer. Some of you, step up a little bit closer, and I'll pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm sure that is a rule. That you don't want to see anything happen to me. And it's for sure that I don't want to see anything happen to you. Because I love you. You're my children. You're my brothers and sisters. You're very precious to me. And there's not one of you that I feel any different about as to the other. Though you might think so. So help me God, I don't. I love you. I told my wife years ago, and I repeat this again, as I've told you in the past. I said, Betty, there's one thing that we will not do. We will not be respect a person as to our children. They're all our children. One may do better than another, or whatever it may come about. I said, but I love my children, my daughters and my sons all equally. I'll love them alike because they're my precious children. And when I started into the ministry, I said, Betty, we will not have a family church. I said, we'll all be the same. I'm just one of you, just a help of your faith. Christ is our master. I'm not a lord over the heritage of God. I said we will not have a family church. I will love one the same way I love another. Irregardless to race, creed, color, whatever your stumblings, your staggering, I still love you. I love you. I love you. And I want to do all I can for you. And there's neither male nor female in Christ. God loves you because the woman comes from the man and the man comes from God. And all of you emanated from God. And it's just a matter of your position in life as to what God has to have in the earth to carry out his program. The same way with colors. You know, it has nothing to do with you at all. There's definitely, absolutely before the living God, not one tiny speck of difference between you as a person. It was like the presidency yesterday. Something was said. Was talking. I was just with a brother and I was talking. I said, well, I tell you, this president we got, I just can't go along with him. I said, I just can't do it. I said, it's a terrible situation to me. And I've been praying, God, put him down, put him down, put him down. And God has. And they say to the lowest rating that any president's ever had, as this 100 days that we've seen. And I said, just take the man out. I said, I know you're going to leave him there for a while. I know you are. And I said, I know that because it's the end of the world. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. And I know the church has got to get out of here. Like we said, we can't do anything until you get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels said, get out, Lot. Said, I know the time's here. And I was talking. I said, you know, I said, I know of a couple of men that I think would have probably made good presidents, thinking about the things that they have said and the testimonies that I've heard of them, if they be true, and if they would continue like that. And of course, somebody curious to know, I said, Sam Nunn and a man by the name of Colin Powell. I said, I feel like from what I've heard of these people, that they're not racist. And that when they have been spoken to, their concern has been for humanity, which this man's in office is just now coming around to some sense to say one of his greatest mistakes as was to do some of the things that he did there concerning the military. He'd like to undo it, but he can't. See, I asked God to expose his foolishness. God did. When God caused that woman to do what she did, to kill those babies down yonder at his leadership, and then all this other riffraff and confusion. And I said, God will not be with that man. It'll be a confusion. Confusions of the devil. And it's got everybody confused and tore up. And I said, even as I told Mr. Bush, I said, Satan has raised this man up, Mr. Bush. So it was just God's way of forcing the church out of the world, that there might be once again at the end of this, as it was at the beginning, a separation of church and state. So in this, I said, I think either one of those men, if they continue the way I've heard, you know, make a fine president. I'm real convicted in that. See, and that's the way God is. He wants to use you. He ain't interested in who you are as to color or education or ability or appearance. He is interested in who you are as to whether you are a son of God or a son of Satan. This is what he's interested in. It don't matter if you're a Jew. It don't matter if you're a Gentile. It don't matter if you're black or white, yellow or red. It don't matter. It don't matter if you're educated or not educated. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of money, don't have a lot of money, whether you're popular or not popular, whether you're handsome or not handsome, beautiful or not beautiful. He isn't interested in that. God said, I'll beautify the meek with salvation. He's not interested in that. Satan is interested in all those things. Your face and your form. He savors the things that be of the world. Position and preeminence unto the Lord over. So then we're one. Christ is our head. He is our mind, our soul, our life, our body. We emanated from him. Jesus is our Passover lamb. So then let's pray. Let's be in one mind. When you leave here to go eat or you go to do something, go out with the jubilance and joy of God that you're one with your brother, that you're walking in harmony. And whatever your brother does as to Christ, that's what you're going to do. And that you're all members and you're going to be blessed of God, be strengthened of God, have the blessings of the minister upon you, have the minister to remit your sins, and be free from the evils of the world, and that you're going out there to do something for God, that every day is a ministry, every person is part of your ministry, and that going out there, that you're going to keep your minds right on Christ, that wherever you go, that he'll be ordering your steps to where he can show you things. If the devil's laying a trap, the minister, the angels of God will be there to minister to you and protect you like he has me so many times and has you without you knowing, entertaining angels unaware. A lot of times they're right there and camp round about you. You're not aware of it. So then, let's do that. You'll be back tonight. I'll be back tonight. We'll have a good time in the Lord. We'll be a unit here. The Lord Jesus will come back because a babe is to be born in Bethlehem. And this Bethlehem has significance. And the shifting of the government has significance. And this must be a unit. This must be a government that's not divided. United we stand, divided we fall. This is to be united. And this is to be one for all and all for one. And the Lord's going to come back. That's all that's kept him away. He's going to come back. He's ready right now. He's just looking for a people. Unless you and I be that people. He's making you the head of the nations. Let's be that people. We're following that of the Jews, the spiritual Jew here, but it follows the type of the natural Jew. And these things is happening. Started with a little tent that was predestined. It appeared to go to Israel. And so it has. Now, in this, we do this, and God is about to bring in the Jews as the head of the nation. It's the natural. But remember, you're going to be the head of the Jews. It will be spiritual Jews sitting on the throne. It will be a spiritual Jew, that of king that reigns in righteousness, not of the blood seed of any nation. He can be a sovereignty because he doesn't have the blood cell of anybody. The Arabs can't fuss as some did with me down in Jericho saying, no, they're Jews. Jesus was a Jew. And we're not going to bow to that. No, he wasn't a Jew. See, and he that is a Jew, I was not a Jew. And if you're born of God, then you're not of the blood cell of mankind. All of that went out with the beast at Calvary. You are of the blood cell, the royal blood cell of Christ Jesus, which means you should never favor anybody at any time, any religious group, any sect, any kind of people, whether it's your racial desires or prejudice or whatever. You should love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can't do that, if there's something that keeps you from doing that, that much of you is a reservation of heart that you'll never get that full reward. You'll never be God's man. He'll use you wherever he can. And your self-will, he'll allow, because he has his way in the good and evil. Evil comes, he's sent it. He's allowed it. And do whatever you will. But that's not the will of God. Walk in the perfect will of God. You know, I failed, and I'm going to stop here. I failed in many ways, perhaps more than all of you. To whom much is given, much is required. I failed in many ways, and I'm less than nothing, less than the least among you. But I'm telling you one thing. If you want to be God's man and God's woman, if you really want to be a body of jubilance, of beauty, of strength, of holiness, of grace, of power, of understanding, of wealth, all the things that pertain unto life, naturally and spiritually. If you want to do that, then give your whole heart to God. Love him with all your mind, all of your strength. Love your neighbors, yourself. Let's sing a little chorus together. Lift your hands up now. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Can you sing with me? For the angel will stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be. Now let's sing together. And I will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory while we're singing. But ask Brother Richard the Jew to come up if he will. When the Gentile days are at an end, then the Jew will come in. And Monique's coming up. We want to sing that one more time together. Be careful today. Watch today. And as you watch, also pray. Be sure to pray. If you pray and don't watch, or watch and don't pray, it won't work. If you believe, you know, when you pray, believe. If you pray and don't believe, it won't work. If you believe and don't pray, it won't work. Faith without works is dead, and works without faith. If you have real faith, it'll cause your nature to produce the works of the Spirit, having your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof, everlasting life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us, Brother Taylor, could see each other in glory? Pray for your loved ones. Now's the time. Once again, we're going to sing this chorus together. Let's sing it together. Just lift your hands up and close your eyes. I will praise him.